about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Base is loaded, bottom of the ninth. Are you gonna step up?
Oh, yeah.
Because it's winning time, you magnificent son of a bitch. You go in there and show them. Make mommy proud of her big boy because he's the best.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Hey, it's Beer Mug here.
Don't be the 1%, man. Be the 99. Peace.
That was intense, what you just did.
I like a lot of things. A lot.
So you tell Beer Mug to shut the up. God, what a douche.
And how have you thought, what are your thoughts on how it has gone so far?
Hey, Beer Mug, that's not funny.
Yeah, good boy.
It's like being around a black hole that just sucks the life out of everything.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Kelly Clarkson!
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Is it real?
Roll another one.
Who is luckier than me?
Just like the other one.
Oh my God, you're boring, aren't you?
This one seems to be about to quit.
I don't want to go into your man cave.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Ain't gonna happen.
Roll another one.
My girlfriend has a penis.
Just like.
Thank you for whipping that out on us.
This one seems to be about segment.
Lay out the sauce, man.
I don't have another cent.
I don't like the fact that he thinks us white people are trash. Because we're not.
Kevin and Bean are dicks.
Just pass it around.
When can we get jiggy with it?
Good morning, binge drinkers.
Whoops. Hey, my thing moved. Hold
no,
on.
No, that was good.
No, here we go.
Check it out.
Hold,
big
please.
Finish. No, big finish.
And now.
Oh, my.
Our feature presentation.
All right.
His I had thing. A moving cursor there. That was weird.
I was going to say his thing hardly ever moves.
That's how true.
Dare you.
10 years.
Well, I guess I lost the office pool that mm-hmm. Kevin wouldn't be here by now. I'll tell you
what?
That. After. Well, because I knew you and Ralph had a big event last night in the desert or someplace.
We did. San Manuel.
Mm-hmm.
Indian Bingo and Casino. But
so I figure you'd be, you know, driving back right now.
Nah, I almost, you know, it was one of those things where you go, well, should I just stay up? It wasn't that late, though. I mean, we got home by like, I don't know, 9:30 or something.
Oh, really?
It was nothing.
Oh, that's not bad at all.
I thought those poker tournaments went late.
They do for the most part, but this was a let's get this over with tournament. So they put the rules so that you either go all in or you're out within 5 seconds, and then, you know, there's 10 people remaining quickly.
Oh, wow.
It's really fast, yeah.
Okay.
So, but it was fun. We had a good time. Ralph drank a lot. I drank some.
Well, it was his birthday. He was allowed.
Yeah, I told him that's quite a scam because everybody. I'm going to announce the next thing I go to that it's my birthday. Just say it because everyone was buying him drinks.
Yeah,
sure.
Ralph, it's your birthday. You want a drink? Let me get you a drink, buddy. He had like two, one in each hand. He's like, I'm good now, but maybe in a few minutes.
Well, it is the Kevin and Bean Show finally for a Friday. There's a lot going on, of course, with you know, this time of year. You know, Miss Double December, the entry time frame closes today at the end of the show. If you want to be Miss Double December 2012, you go to KROQ.com and sign up for that. Tickets for night number 2 of the 22nd annual KROQ Almost Christmas, they go on sale at the end of the show today. Thanksgiving is less than a week, and I started thinking, Thanksgiving is in less than a week. Doesn't that mean that the holidays are here? Doesn't that mean that it's practically Christmas?
Yeah, but it isn't. Yeah.
Doesn't that mean that it may
close.
Be time for some fruitcake?
What you making? Fruitcake. What you baking? Fruit cake! Candy cherries, red dye number 2. Green cherries, green ones too, it's fruit cake!
Now, Now, this song came out last year, and I couldn't have been happier because I love Fred Schneider, first of all, but second of all, because it's the best song I've ever heard about fruitcake. And
that's not a big
potentially
category.
The only one.
I know a lot of fruitcake songs.
I'm sure
but
you do.
But I will tell you that this song is genius. This song is brilliant. I love this song so much. And I desperately missed not being able to play it on the radio in, you know, January and then February and then March and right. then all the way through till now.
My normal policy in life is I don't want to hear any Christmas music until after Thanksgiving. And then I'm fine with it for the whole season. And then it needs to go away.
Yeah, that doesn't happen anymore.
No, but for fruitcake.
With the exception of fruitcake.
I mean,
it's fruitcake.
How do you not love this?
Pecans or walnuts.
He's just going to list the ingredients.
Citrus peel.
Yeah, the recipe.
Lots of stuff.
That's my
lots
favorite.
Lots of stuff. Add what you feel.
See, you add what you feel, Devin.
Sticks of butter.
You don't want me adding what I feel.
Cinnamon. Mo molasses.
Yeah.
Lots of dark rum. Artificial color.
A artificial sod.
If your family don't want it, give it to a neighbor. It's fruitcake. It's fruitcake.
And I will tell you the other thing, and maybe the reason I like this song more than most is I also love fruitcake too. So yeah. This is everything for me. This is holiday music, and it's about fruitcake, and it's by an artist that I love, and it's a great song. So it really is just it's perfect for me.
And I love Poison.
The band?
No, I'm just saying you don't love fruitcake. No one loves fruitcake. You get fruitcake, you give it to somebody. No one loves it.
Why do you say things
like
that?
No one loves it because it's made with all the leftover crap that doesn't no other food wants.
Artificial flavors.
That's totally not true.
Artificial colors.
Fruitcake is packed with delicious fruit.
It's half rubber. It has no fruit in it. Half rubber.
Look,
I'd say it's icky fruit.
It is icky. And it's leftover and it's hard fruit.
And it weighs 1,000 pounds. It's so dense.
It's really not good.
You need a special knife to cut it.
You act like this is the first time anyone's ever said this about fruitcake.
Well, it's just I expect more from you because we've had this discussion in years past. And
I know
we've talked to the people who sell millions of pounds of fruitcake a year. And we've had the discussion that, you know, you can claim hamburgers are crappy too if you only buy the lowest quality crappy hamburgers. But then you have yourself a big good juicy hamburger over here, and then all of a sudden you go, wow, that's a great item.
Right, but there's no good juicy fruitcake. There is none. Fruitcake,
well, of course,
by its very design, is just it's the hot dog of foods.
There's fantastic fruitcake.
It's the hot dog of desserts.
Moist. You have yourself a moist, delicious, fresh fruitcake.
Nope.
And you'll change your mind about everything that you believe.
Those words don't even go together.
No, they don't. You can't. I mean, that's fruitcake is...
People buy fruitcakes to be funny.
Correct. It's a comedy Christmas food.
It's a comedy gift, yes.
And you think they sell millions of fruitcakes every year just from people who are trying to be
funny. Millions of funny people.
And you think nobody likes fruitcake.
Exactly. I'm going to go with none. I think I'm going to stick with that number. I'm comfortable with that.
Well, I'm just very excited to know that for the remaining weeks that we are on the air here on the Kevin Bean Show this year, there's going to be a lot of fruitcake. So,
having said that, that's the best song ever.
Absolutely.
It is the best song ever. I agree.
Other than Red Solo Cup. Which we'll tell you about in about a half hour. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show.
This is degrading and humiliating. Maybe you're getting some kind of pleasure out of this, but I hate it. I felt completely violated.
Because Jim Jefferies is coming in?
Oh, that'll do it.
Funny
that'll
man Jim Jefferies. He's always great.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk to Mickey Rourke on today's program.
That's impressive.
That? From the movie theaters Immortals?
That's correct.
Wow.
We are going to talk to LA Galaxy Omar Gonzalez.
All right.
About the MLS Cup this weekend.
Olé.
Not like I have to tell you guys that. Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes, Jay Mewes, coming in the studio. How about that? What if I were to tell you that?
That's I'm impressed. Don't yell at me. Shane's
Bob right there.
Plus, don't yell at me. Plus, we have the movie beat because it is Friday. We will take a break and come back with the showbiz beat now. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's 5:52.
Ralph Garman joins us in studio. Ralph, how was your night last night? Kevin said he had fun.
Kevin, by the way, kicked some major poker ass last night. I have to give
really?
my boy props. He did very well for himself last
All
night.
All right. Got real lucky a couple times, but I'll take it.
Crushed in the first round. Got deep into the second round before he lost. The whole table went down at once. Seemed like it was everyone all in, and Kevin had an ace and a four or something like that. It was very close, but he lost. But we had a great time last night at San Manuel Indian Bingo and Casino. I want to thank everyone who gave me the birthday wishes and, more importantly, the birthday drinks.
Yes, a lot of drinks were bought for Ralph.
It was a good idea last night. This morning, not so much.
Yeah.
So from thank you to damn you in just 12 hours.
Well, it is Friday. You just have to hang on for a few more hours.
And be careful, by the way, if you're driving west on the 210 freeway out of the Inland Empire.
What? Why?
Because it is so foggy this morning.
Oh, I see. Okay.
That cars were, like, stopping because they literally couldn't see anything in front of them. It was very scary stuff.
Mm.
I stayed out there last night near San Manuel, and I drove in this morning, and it was I said, well, I'm not going to get to work. We're just going to sit here. We're going to sit here in the fog until the sun comes up. That's what I thought would happen. But anyway, it was kind of treacherous, so I just wanted to give people a heads up. But it was a good time last night. Thanks, everybody who came out. We had fun. I wonder who won.
I wonder who won,
too. I wonder who won as well.
Yeah. $10,000. $10,000.
Yeah.
You are going to be glad you came in, because coming up after the top of the hour, Ralph, we're going to be discussing your favorite new song, Toby Keith's Red Solo Cup. And I understand you have some things to say about that.
I don't know if I have the energy for Red Solo Cup.
I'll play a little of it. You'll have it.
I'll work my way up.
Uh-huh.
I want to give you a heads up. Tomorrow night, Kevin Smith will be on the show later today, along with Jason Mewes.
That's a terrible idea.
His buddy
He's going to be on the show tomorrow night?
The Jay and Silent Bob movies. They're coming in today, but tomorrow night is a double...
Today is Friday.
Right.
Tomorrow is Saturday.
Mm.
Sunday comes after words.
I see.
Saturday night at the Lovitz. It's a double feature with me and Kevin Smith. We're doing two shows tomorrow night. 10 o'clock, of course, the late show will be Hollywood Babylon, as it is almost every Saturday night there at the Lovitz. But at 8 o'clock, we are doing the second installment of a thing we did a couple months ago that went over gangbusters. We're taking all of the comic books written by Kevin Smith.
Okay.
This is our plan. And we are enacting them live on stage.
Is that right?
And I play all of the characters in the comic book. Using my different celebrity impressions and voices.
Okay, what does Kevin do?
Kevin narrates. He reads the narration.
I see, okay.
And directs me and throws stuff at me while we're doing it. It's very, very entertaining. It's called Hollywood Babylon Comic-Con Theater, and we do it periodically. We're doing it tomorrow night at 8 o'clock if you want to check that out. We're doing issue 2 of Kevin's run on Batman. He wrote a series of Batman comics. And so we're doing the second one of that, and I get to play Adam West as Batman.
Sweet.
And Ed Wynn as the Joker.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, my goodness, Batman! Yeah, it's very entertaining. People seem to enjoy it. So you can go to thelovitz.com for more details and to pick up tickets. Love to see you come out.
If you want it to be funnier, buy Ralph a drink early.
Oh, I can't drink for the comic book one because I have to read.
That's what I'm saying.
And like make sense.
That's my point.
So it's a lot of pressure.
Buy him a drink.
Let's talk about Demi Moore and Ashton Kutcher, shall we?
Yeah, what's going on with those crazy kids?
On again,
didn't
off
you hear
again.
Lisa Demi Moore release a statement yesterday saying she is filing for divorce?
No, I hadn't heard.
She is ending her 6-year-long marriage with Ashton Kutcher.
Did she see his hair and facial hair?
Yeah, she said, he's not going to shave, I'm not going to stay, pretty much. Here's what her statement was. There are certain values and vows that I hold sacred, and it is in this spirit that I've chosen to move forward with my life.
So picky, some people, you know?
It looks like that Kabbalah counseling didn't work after all, boys and girls. I guess that pretty much puts the nail in the coffin of the did he or didn't he cheat argument, right?
Yeah.
Well, if you're assuming that's the vow she holds sacred, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it's vegan. I don't think it's veganism. He tweeted late yesterday afternoon, I will forever cherish the time spent with Demi, and marriage is one of the most difficult things in the world, and sometimes they fail.
They fail. You don't.
No,
they
it was
fail.
The marriage that marriage failed, Lisa. Yeah, they tend to fail more, I think, if you bang 22-year-olds in your hot tub, in your suite.
If your lady's uptight.
Yeah, right. So, looks like after 6 years, they are going to separate ways. No word yet on who gets custody of Bruce Willis. So we're going to have to wait and see. This is a bizarre survey, but I thought it was interesting. A group called Home Goods, this is one of these... You know, a housekeeping website to talk about cooking and cleaning and that kind of stuff.
Okay.
According to the New York Post, they did a survey asking which TV talk show host would you most like to have join you for Thanksgiving dinner?
That's a terrible idea.
It's a terrible idea, but some interesting results.
That's awful.
And there's only one possible answer, too, right? And that's Regis.
Oh, it's Wendy Williams.
Obviously.
For Lisa, it's Wendy Williams. Yeah, you could have Slim Jims for Thanksgiving. This is Regis' last day, by the way. It's the last Regis today.
Oh, you don't have to tell me. I'm set up. I'm watching it this morning during the show.
Yeah.
I may not be available.
You got a black armband on me.
Right.
I do.
That show's so good.
Anyway, which TV host do you think people most wanted to sit down for Thanksgiving dinner with?
Ellen.
Ellen, not on the list. At least this is not in the top
really?
Five. Yeah.
That's
wow.
A good guess,
that was a great guess.
She's so likable.
And especially, it's probably, this has to be a woman-oriented website, right?
It is, but there's several men on the list.
Well, is Oprah still
Oprah
there?
Not in the running, I don't think, because she doesn't have a show anymore.
Jeez,
Omar would be very happy with this guest.
Is that Rachel Ray?
Rachel Ray was the most popular, 31% of the vote.
Well, because she cooked
Yeah,
it,
do you
right?
think that's because they think they'd have a good meal?
I guess she'd probably pitch in, right?
But she's too bubbly. Too peppy.
Oh, please.
Can you imagine her with a couple glasses of wine in her, too?
No way.
She never said
First 5-minute Thanksgiving ever.
Yeah, she'd be banging the pepper grinder in about 20 minutes. I think that's what would happen. Jay Leno was second on the list. Then Conan O'Brien, then Chelsea Handler and Rosie O'Donnell rounding out the top five.
That's a terrible list.
That's a terrible list.
They should call this list people I'd like to invite to Thanksgiving dinner so I could stab them with the carving knife.
That's a terrible idea.
Except for Conan, I'm not really interested in hanging out with any of these
people. Any of them.
And Dean McDermott is the husband of Tori Spelling. He learned the lesson the hard way yesterday about tweeting without being very, very careful.
All right. I love this.
Dean thought it would be adorable to post a picture of their son, Liam. He called him Doughhead because Liam had a little tiny toy rolling pin like a baker uses.
Right.
It pressed up against his forehead and it stuck there and he was making a face to Dad and Dad took the picture, thought it was adorable and tweeted it. Put it out there for everyone to see.
Right.
What Dean didn't realize, I guess, didn't take a close look at the picture, is right behind his son, Liam, is his wife, topless, lounging on the couch with their cans out. He tweeted the picture. People started to go, you realize that Tori's cans are out there on display behind your son. You realize that, don't you?
That's awesome.
So he quickly tried to pull the picture up. By that point, all the websites had grabbed it, so you can probably find it on the internet. If you just type in Tori Spelling topless, you'll find it.
Let me ask you this question, Ralph. Is it worth looking for?
It's worth it because it's funny.
Okay.
It's not worth it because she's great.
She's hot.
They are sticking straight up in the air.
But I mean, they are just right there for hard to miss. I don't know how he was able to tweet that.
She's hanging out on the couch.
And their kid is like six or something, too, by the way. It's not like she was just breastfeeding him. He's obviously in preschool or whatever. And she's just hanging out with her boobs pressed up against her belly, just hanging out there.
So weird.
There they are. That's some nipplage, too, by the way. What are we talking? Silver dollars?
We're talking silver dollar
or like a $5 bill. Maybe a $5 bill.
Yeah, maybe.
Just saying. So be careful what you tweet, people. That's the moral of the story.
No, don't.
Don't be careful what you tweet. Much more entertaining for us if you don't. Today's celebrity birthdays, not as good as yesterday. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Perkins. She's 51 years old today. Very funny on that Weeds.
She was Elizabeth Perkins. She hasn't been on this last season.
Kirk Hammett of Metallica is 49 years old today. Actor Owen Wilson celebrates his 43rd birthday. Mike Epps, talented actor, turns 41. Peter Wilson, who was La Femme Nikita on the TV series, the original.
Ralph hates her. He was talking about how much he hates Peter the other day.
No, that's Peter the organization.
It's like, how do you hate Peter Wilson that much?
She's adorable. She's 41. Chloe Sevigny is 37 years old today. And rapper Fabulous celebrates his 34th birthday today. Kevin Nealon, while we're talking about Weeds, he's 58. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
You think that's what that needs? 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 24 minutes after 6.
You're Kevin and Bean. Beth's email begins, "Hey, Red Solo Cup, my IQ just dropped 70 points having to listen to that song. Thanks a lot." That's what she says.
Another email I got said, "Red Solo Cup's available at Walmart, food stamps accepted." So that's where you can get your Red Solo Cups.
When that song comes on the radio, and of course it won't happen to you, Ralph, because there's no chance you'll be listening to a country music station.
Nope.
But Kevin, if you were to come across it, spin in the dial, would you listen
yes,
to it?
I would.
Why do you support everything bad?
Because I find this bad enough that it's funny.
I sort of agree with Kevin that it's such a miracle that it was written and recorded that you just can't believe it.
It's a miracle how bad it is.
Oh, no. It's one of those horrible country novelty songs.
I can see your point as well because you're right. But I find it funny because it's so bad.
She got the gold mine, I got the shaft. Sometimes you're the windshield, sometimes you're the bug. It's all that same kind of country BS. It's just, it's so horrible.
Jay and Silent Bob join us next hour in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about actors Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes. Also, Kevin from the LA Galaxy, Omar Gonzalez, comes up later on today. Right now, though, it's Friday. That means it's time for the movie.
In a world, someone has been watching.
One man
who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
All that really matters in the movie world this weekend, of course, is the Twilight Saga Breaking Dawn Part 1. They're expecting it's going to pull in $150 million this weekend.
That's all?
That's their guess. That's their guesstimate.
Wow.
50.
So we'll have to wait and see whether the experts are right or not. But there are other movies in the Cineplexes this weekend, including something for the kids. Happy Feet 2. You loved the first one with the dancing penguins. Did you ever see George Miller's Happy Feet?
I did not.
It is a wildly entertaining film. Very sort of smart and funny. Great for adults as well as for kids. The whole team is back again for round two. Elijah Wood returns. Robin Williams is a voice in this. Hank Azaria. Brad Pitt lends his vocal talents to this. Huh. Sofia Vergara also in this film.
Wow.
Seems like a waste to cast Sofia Vergara and then animate on top of her.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I agree.
You want to see her live action. The same old story. It's about a penguin struggling to realize his talents. And the first penguin from the first film is all grown up. He's got his own son now, and he's trying to teach him how he should be a dancing penguin, too.
This isn't fixed. This is true, right?
It's a truth based on a true story.
That's great.
Here's a scene from Happy Feet 2 where Hank Azaria is trying to help Robin Williams' character, Ramon, hook up with Sofia Vergara. He is very much in love with her.
If you want it, you must feel it.
Now loosen up, empty your mind.
Done.
And picture your goal.
Okay.
See her eyes. Blue. No, brown. Deep brown. Short.
Tall.
Slender.
Bound.
Come on, feel it hard. Now with extra added bonus, feel it. Come, feel it, feel it, feel it, feel it, feel it, feel it. Open your eyes.
You, me, beautiful egg. Now.
You, me, fat chance.
I have a chance. And it's fat.
He's got a chance and it's fat. Robin Williams is great in these animated films. His voice really lends itself to wide characterizations, and I think he does a great job. Also opening up this weekend, I've been looking forward to this movie for a long time. This is about, like, the Twilight Saga for the Twitards.
Mm-hmm.
This is what the Descendants has been for me, because I'm such a huge George Clooney fan, and I love him when he plays heavy, serious roles as well as when he plays charming and lovable. In The Descendants, he plays a man who has to reconnect with his young daughters once his wife goes into a coma. On top of dealing with her health issues, he discovers that she has been having a long-time affair behind his back.
So it's a laugh riot?
It is a laugh-a-palooza. Mm. Here's a scene from The Descendants where George Clooney meets his daughter's friend, Sid, played by Nick Kraus.
Dad, this is Sid.
Oh, Sid.
Sup, bro?
Don't ever do that to me again. Get ready. We're going to go see your grandparents. And Scotty, Auntie Esther's going to come watch you.
Dad, Sid's coming with us, okay?
Yeah, listen, Sid, what's going on this week is really a family matter. You understand? Sid's not going to be interested in meeting your grandparents. He's going to be bored stiff.
I'll be a lot more civil with him around.
What can I say?
What can I say? Alexander Payne is the director of this film. He brought you Sideways. Remember that with...
Sure. That guy?
Thomas Hayden Church and Paul Giamatti. Yeah.
He does dramedies, basically.
He
They're
does,
serious
yes.
movies that are also fun.
Moments of laughter. Judy Greer, our buddy Judy Greer is in that film as well.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to check that out this weekend. As we mentioned, the Twilight Saga Breaking Dawn Part 1. This is what y'all been waiting for. This is the wedding. This is the pregnancy. And then the C-section with fangs.
With
the fang section. And you got Edward and Jasper who are fighting with Alice against the singing dog team, sled team.
I'm not even going to bother.
I think you got it.
Yeah, there's a singing dog sled team.
There's a dog sled team. They sing one, and they dance against the penguins, right? There's a dance off.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's right.
Pants off, dance off, is that what it's called?
I don't remember. It's been a while.
I don't remember either. Look, the Twilight Saga is lost.
We don't,
It is what it
but
is.
But we don't need anyone
but
to explain it.
No one needs me on board. Here's a scene where Robert Pattinson and Jackson Rathbone, that's a dude's name, by the way.
Yeah.
He plays Jasper in the film, and Ashley Green, they're facing off against the singing dog sled team.
I won't let them hurt my family.
As you can tell, the series maintains its high dramatic standards, even in this late edition of the franchise.
You'd think they'd be singing better by now.
That's really crazy. They should get one of those pipes that you blow that gives you the key, gives you the tune. Yes, everybody would be on the same note. It doesn't matter what we say. That's going to obviously crush this weekend, but we'll just have to see if it makes as much money as they speculated. Will, I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
Look, I know what it's like at Acoustic Christmas. You're going to be drinking, and you're going to be hanging out, and then you're going to go outside, and you're going to be smoking, and you're not going to be paying attention. Don't miss the Black Keys on Sunday.
No, definitely not.
Yeah. Do not miss them. And if you want the tickets, you can buy them at 10 a.m. this morning. Go to krock.com for all of the details.
10 a.m. is also the deadline for the entries to be in so that we can start putting together our top 10 of the ladies who want to be Miss Double December 2012. This is it. You got 3.5 hours, ladies. If you want to fill out your entry form and send us some photos, and then the top 10 go up next week, then you get to help us decide. Your vote counts, and then December 2nd, we crown a new Miss Double December for next year, and that's going to be in Fullerton. All those details about Acoustic Christmas and Miss Double D at krock.com.
Let me start this next conversation, Bean, because right. I would like to tell people something that might shock them, and that is that Bean, who is the antisocial one, who has Asperger's, and who drives us all crazy, is the single most thoughtful gift giver I've ever met in my life.
I think that might be true.
All right. Now, right? You go ahead.
That's very kind of you to say, but I no longer can accept that that compliment. Because apparently, in fact, I am the world's worst gift giver. And let me tell you what happened. I have a friend, a very close friend, who lives here on the island that I got a gift for last year. And it was a lawn Yeti. Now, who wouldn't want a 4-foot statue of Bigfoot in their front yard, is what I was thinking, right?
And you know him. You know his sense of humor.
Yeah.
And I've seen it. I want it.
I mean, I've got a, I've got two lawn pigs and I've got a lawn bear. So I'm a fan of the lawn art.
You should explain what it looks like, Bean.
Well, you know that famous grainy photo that was taken 40 years ago in the woods in Washington State of what now we know of as Bigfoot? It later turned out to be a hoax. It was a guy with a costume. But
as what wasn't Bigfoot, that picture.
Exactly right. It's a grainy photo of something that just looks like a giant gorilla just kind of strolling through the woods, just walking through the woods. And somebody caught this on film, and it's just created this entire industry of people out there who are always looking for Bigfoot, right? They're also called Yeti. There's similar stories of them being seen in the Himalayas, and people still debate whether it's real or not. But most of us think, it's just some fantastical creature that lives in the woods. But it has captured the imagination of the people.
Now, did your manslave, Marty, did he love it? Did he like it? Did he fake it? Did he open it and go, yes, this is great? How weird?
And it's so funny because we've all, 100% of us have been there when somebody has opened a gift and you look in their face to see if they're just being polite and going, oh, thanks, that's nice. Or if they genuinely seem excited about the gift.
But especially with one like that, because that's kind of risky.
It could go either way. Right. He and his wife both claimed at the time to love it. They were very excited about it. They couldn't wait to get it outside and put it on their front porch as, you know, for people to see that come up to their home all the time. And I have had nothing but evidence in the last year that that has been the case because it's been out on their front porch. And his wife even goes so far as to decorate it. I mean, she puts a Santa hat on it at Christmas and she dresses it up for Halloween. Right, she puts a little American flag in it on the 4th of July. The Bigfoot's carrying a little American flag. It seems like she's into it, right?
So she's into it as much as he is. See, something like that I would be into. My wife wouldn't be.
Right.
But if they're both into it, that's a win-win.
I thought home run. They love the gift. It was great. Well, fast forward to this past weekend when a friend of mine calls me and says, hey, I'm up here at the thrift store here on the island, and I'm pretty sure this is Marty's Yeti that's being offered for sale. Apparently, it's been sold to the thrift store.
The thrift store bought the Yeti from your friend who loved it?
Yes, apparently that's what happened. It's not on his porch anymore. Now it's available for sale in the thrift store. So now I'm in a tight spot.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on. Does he need money? Because that's sort of sad. You don't want to even take another step. If he needs money and he's selling stuff.
No.
He doesn't need money.
No, he's totally fine. He's totally fine.
Okay, now you should be offended.
Well, that's my question is.
No, you can't be offended. A gift is a gift. Right. And you give it. And then what happens after that is your business or concern.
I agree. But they said.
And they
had it times.
Yes, and they used it for 2 years. The gifts don't necessarily last forever.
Did you say it was last year or 2 years?
Last year,
Okay. So they had a good year with
it. Had a good run.
Awesome. But moving on.
I agree with you intellectually that it's their property and it's theirs to do with what they wish. I get that. But on the other hand, living on a tiny island and putting it in the thrift store isn't it fairly likely that it's going to come back, that somebody that we both know is going to see that?
Doesn't this thing
seem
is big,
like,
right? It's like life size?
No.
It's not that big.
3.5 feet, maybe?
Yeah, 3 feet, something like that.
Okay.
But, I mean, doesn't it seem like that's the type of thing, if you decide, hey, I don't like it, or I'm bored with it, or I don't want to use it anymore, I don't know, just in the interest of, hey, these are friends of ours that we see all the time, aren't you a little bit more discreet with the way that you dispose of it?
Do you want him to bury it?
If I see them all the time, I'm putting it away, like in the garage or something, and then when they come over, I'm bringing it out.
Oh, come on. That's such a pain.
I know, but if it's somebody that you really like and they come over all the time, like you really like them.
Yeah.
Yeah, we see them all the time. I mean, look.
But your friends, couldn't he just tell you what the deal is?
But that's what Bean's question.
That's what my question is should I even bring it up to him, or is it embarrassing for him now for me to bring up, hey, what happened to that awesome Christmas gift that you lied to me and said you liked last year? What do I do?
Maybe you just drop it in. Maybe you could just say, and give us a call if you have an idea, 1-800-520-1067. Maybe you just go, hey, how did you decorate Yeti for Halloween this year? Right?
Yeah, you could
or
do
something
that.
Like that. Or how are you going to decorate it for Christmas?
But why are you assuming he lied to you? They decorated it at Christmas. They had it up for a year. Right. Maybe they just decided they're going in a new direction.
No, it's too great a gift. You don't go in a different direction from that.
I kind of agree with Kevin. But the other half of it is, I just feel like if they didn't want it anymore, take it somewhere else and get rid of it. Give it to somebody else. You know, re-gift it rather than so publicly humiliate me by putting it out in the town square, essentially.
But did they put it out in the town square with a sign that said, this is a horrible gift given to me by Bean? That's not humiliating.
You can go to kirock.com or kevinbean.com. Lisa, you might even want to check out the Yeti. I took a photo in front of my house yesterday. It's up on the website right now.
Why do you have it?
Bean has it now.
Why?
Because it's a long story. But basically, the friend who saw it knows the guy that bought it and got it from him to bring to my house so that I could look it over and decide what to do next.
Send it to me.
Perfect gift for Kevin.
So here's the it's a poll question at kevinbean.com or krock.com right now. Here's what you're asked right under the pictures of the Yeti is, what now? Confront him. He's a dick. Talking about my friend Marty.
Okay.
Get over it. It was his to sell.
Right.
Which means I got no business even being concerned about this.
Right.
Or option number three, buy it back and give it to him for Christmas again this year, which I think is kind of where I'm leaning right now.
Oh, sweet. And
you're going for comedy, yeah, I think that's great.
Yeah, and then you can go put this next to your other one. Because he hasn't told you, right?
No, not at all. There's not been a word about what happened to his Yeti.
Okay, so he hasn't said anything. So you give it to him again this year, and then you go, let's go over to your house right now and put it next to the other one. Like, really put the screws to him.
I think that's funny.
Right now, let's go put it up. Wouldn't that be great?
Make him squirm?
Yes.
Look, it's like bookends now. It's lions by the front gate. Now you've got a pair. It's so much better than just one, Marty. Come on.
That's an awesome gift. Look at that picture.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
If none of the above are the answer, then I'll take it.
But your wife will hate it, and it'll end up in your garage or thrift store.
That's correct. But I'll keep putting it back out. I'll look at the thrift stores. Listen, I have to do that with most of my stuff anyway.
Right, yeah. Right.
Well, it did. I have to tell you, it did rock my world, though. You know, it was a hearty slap across the face. It really was. Hey, I nailed this one, and then to find out now they're over it. You know what I mean?
Less nailage than you thought.
Exactly.
Well,
so,
yeah.
Give it to
anyway,
him again, dude.
We'd appreciate
it. Don't mention it until they're there for Christmas Eve or whenever you get together with them.
I haven't said a word. Okay, I haven't said anything. Believe me, it's been burning. It's been burning within me all week long to not say, hey, Marty, what's going on with the Bigfoot?
And then set up a video camera when you do it so we can see.
Yes.
So we can see his reaction.
I do love that idea.
Yeah.
You can see the pictures at kevinandbean.com or krock.com and go ahead and cast your vote and tell us what we should do next about this. But I just want to say it's not going to be a very Merry Christmas. Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes join us after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and Jim Jefferies will be here in the 8 o'clock hour. Don't forget, your tickets go on sale for night number 2 of the 22nd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas at 10 a.m. today. Get details at krock.com.
I hope I get tickets.
I think you'll be all right. I think you're in.
I don't know.
You know a guy.
I know a guy who knows a guy.
Yeah,
that's all.
Rob is here now with the Showbiz Beat here on a Friday. What's going on?
Jennifer Lopez has a new man. His name is Casper Smart.
Come on.
It sounds like one of your bad superheroes.
That's his real name.
Casper Smart. Turns out he is a 24-year-old backup dancer for her show.
That's trouble.
You think they sit and have very in-depth conversations about life and philosophy?
Probably more about fashion.
Yeah. Probably more about, oh, your rock-hard body, oil it up and rub it against me. That's what I'm guessing. Look, J-Lo deserves a little fun after what all she's been through.
I agree.
Her breakup and being married to Skeletor and everything else. I hope she has a good time. They were seen hitting a nightclub in Las Vegas a few weeks back after a concert, and apparently Casper Smart continued the show.
Oh.
They were at a club in Vegas, and he decided to give her a one-on-one lap dance right there in front of everyone.
Okay.
I guess if you're a rich 40-something superstar, you get to have 24-year-old rock-hard backup dancers give you a lap dance.
Yeah.
There in front of everyone.
It's good to be her.
It's good to be her. She's hot.
Yeah.
I like her.
Thanks for that postscript.
You're welcome. Scarlett Johansson's finally admitting that those cell phone pics that hit the internet were her.
Was there any doubt?
Well, she had never come forward and acknowledged it or owned them.
Oh, I thought she said that they were stolen, which was to me owning them. But.
Yeah, but, you know, she never addressed the photos themselves and said, yeah, that's me. But she did tell Us Weekly this week that they are her, indeed, and she took them for her ex-husband, Ryan Reynolds, she says. That's how the whole thing started. And she said, now that I look at them, I think I look pretty good in them.
I agree.
And she's right.
Finally.
So I say more.
Right.
More of those photos. You're right. More.
You look great. Everyone's happy with them. No one loses.
More is what we're saying. Do people with a certain amount of fame, or depending on the person, infamy, do they get special treatment under the eyes of the law?
No.
Well, I'm going to give you a couple stories, and you tell me if you still believe that.
All right.
Michael Lowen, yesterday, struck a deal with Florida prosecutors that allowed him to plead no contest to four counts of alleged assault against his ex-girlfriend, Kate Major. Here's what his sentence is. 2 years probation, 4 months in a residential treatment center, a domestic violence program, and he's got to stay away from his girlfriend. Well, this is the girlfriend that they told him to stay away from when he was released on bail, and then he immediately started calling and harassing her.
The second he got out of jail.
The second he started making threatening phone calls.
I do feel like if that was you or I.
Come on.
Come on.
Right?
Yeah.
And by the way, with all the talk we've had about, well, Michael Owen's daughter Lindsay is one example of people who get out of jail because the prisons are overcrowded. The prison should be crowded with guys like Michael Lohan who are violent and actual dangers to other people.
Yes.
He should be in prison.
He poses a very real threat. By all accounts.
Hmm.
Yet 2 years probation.
Hmm.
Now, the thing is, I did watch Liberty Rehab, and I know he responds very well to treatment, so I'm guessing that's all true. Of his problems will be cured in the next 6 months after he completes these programs. All right, that's case one. Here's case two. Jonathan Rhys-Meyers, star of The Tudors. He was Henry VIII in that series.
Mm-hmm.
He's been in a bunch of movies as well. He got a one-month suspended sentence yesterday. And a fine of $1,350 for punching out a waiter.
Punching a waiter?
Punched him out. Knocked him out. Suspended sentence and a fine. When the cops showed up, he threatened to have the cops and their families killed.
What?
When they busted him for being drunk and disorderly.
That seems like the worst crime of all.
That's what I'm thinking. He didn't even show up to court. He was repped by his lawyer. Who noted that Jonathan later apologized to the three police officers that arrested him. By the way, this is not the first time he's had problems like this. He had similar charges in 2007 when he was drunk and disorderly in a Dublin airport. He's been to rehab three times over the past 7 years.
Hmm.
His lawyer called the punishment harsh.
Harsh?
Yes.
Harsh.
Saying Myers was harmed by his fame. He got a one-month suspended sentence and a fine for punching a dude.
That's nothing.
So what do you say now, Kevin? Do people get special treatment under the eyes of the law?
No way!
And another day, another crappy remake in the works. This one really shook me up. Look, I'm getting a nerd to the fact that they are doing all of these remakes, these horrible shows that they're bringing back onto television, and these shows that they're taking and making big screen versions of the old TV shows that no one cares about anymore. But this one really blew me away.
The question seems to be, was it on TV at one point one day?
That seems to be the only criteria for remaking
it. Greenlight it.
The Munsters is coming back.
Yay!
Kids are happy.
Remember the Munsters?
Sure.
Sort of.
Herman Munster with the Frankenstein dude, and he had his wife Lily, who was the hot vampire chick.
and their little son, Wolf Boy Eddie, and Grandpa Munster.
Wasn't there already a Munsters, a new Munsters, like in the 90s or something?
Yeah, they tried a bad syndicated remake of the Munsters. It's been tried a couple times and failed miserably. They're doing it again. I believe ABC is picking up the series. They say, this is my favorite part, it'll be an hour-long, more serious version. Oh, good. Now we're going to have an edgy monster show.
What?
It's about Frankenstein living in a neighborhood with regular people. How serious could it be?
They have to cast Brad Garrett as Herman Munster, though, right?
Oh, yeah. He does do a good...
He perfect.
Does do a good Herman. Does do a good Fred Gwynn. Darn, 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 darn. Today's celebrity birthdays, Delroy Lindo. Very talented actor. He is 59 years old today. Kevin Nealon, our buddy, is 58. Oscar Nunez from The Office plays Oscar on that show.
He's funny.
He is 53 years old. Elizabeth Perkins turns 51. Owen Wilson is 43. Peta Wilson, the femme Nikita, is 41 years old. Chloe Sevigny turns 37 today. I'm never going to get tired of that joke.
No, you're not.
Fabulous is 34 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It's a fairly ridiculously packed Kevin and Bean show here today. It's like we have a red solo cup, Ralph, and we're just filling
it
with every possible bit of goodness
red
from today's
solo
program.
Cup.
Omar Gonzalez will be joining us from your LA Galaxy, talking about this weekend's MLS championship game. That's on the way.
Funny Soccer.
Jeffries is going to be here. How about Oscar-nominated actor Mickey Rourke on the Kevin and Bean show today? How about that coming up?
That's going to be fascinating. Can we get Gary Busey on, too? Just have all the crazies
awesome.
On one day?
Cousin Sal takes a look at the NFL weekend ahead to help you make your picks. And right now in studio, ladies and gentlemen, Jay and Silent Bob have joined us here on the Kevin Beach Show. Kevin Smith.
Hello.
Jason Mewes. Hi, you guys.
Hello, everybody. How's everybody doing?
Very good. Thank
there
you.
There it is. Turn it this way. Hey,
hey
man.
Yeah.
Good morning, everybody.
How you been?
I've been excellent. How's everybody
Jay,
doing
how about
here?
You? Doing
I'm good?
Good.
I'm good.
Fantastic.
Nice. Clean. That's all that matters.
Clean.
Can we have seen?
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, is everybody, good? Is everybody happy now?
We can hear
you.
Yes,
I can
hear it now.
The reason
fascinating
you guys
radio. Moving on. Sorry.
Usually we do that sort of thing off the air, but I don't know what happened there. The reason you guys are here is because you are embarking on a big stretch of live dates where the kids can come out and see you guys doing a podcast together. We talk a lot about the Kevin Smith and Ralph Garman Saturday night nonsense, but you guys have your own thing, too.
Yeah, we do a show also on at Smodcast.com where Hollywood Babylon lives. That's the show that me and Ralph do. The show Jay and I do is called Jay and Silent Bob Get Old. We do it. We used to do it here in town quite a bit. Now it's become more of a road show. Tonight we're doing it in where is it?
San Juan Capistrano
at the Coach House.
It's a musical. I've heard it's a musical.
We do some show tunes. There's some numbers. There's a bit of a lap dance. We kind of ape the Britney show. So we grab someone from the audience. I lap them. If you bite me, it's over. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Guy bitter calf.
I can't believe it's taken that long to get to that. Like, if you're picking random strangers out of the crowd, man, like,
wait,
getting,
we do that,
getting
though.
Nibbled on the calf is the least of your...
Yeah, but you're not Britney, are you?
Well, once I start writhing on a body, it's all good in the dark.
You guys are looking to be bitten. That's the only difference is you're dying for it.
Oh, Lord.
My thigh out. I'm like, come on.
Bite,
bitch.
Yeah, your
How
thigh.
How long do I have to have my thigh here? Or whatever that is.
But, it's a great show. It's where we basically check in on Muse once a week and make sure he's still clean. And he tells fun, loving stories about drug abuse back in the days and being that guy. It's fun. It's a great show.
So you do a show where he talks about the good old days when he used to do drugs and he had a great time.
Yeah. In a bar.
Back when his life was
still living. Dry, too. It's,
wow,
it's
you're
so
a hell of a
weird.
Sponsor.
I know. It seems to work, though. He's been clean and sober for a while now. The show, I think, is kind of a big part of that. It's fun. Go ahead. You tell
me. I was just going to say, we can laugh at them. I can laugh at them now, but so they weren't good times then, but they are good times now.
Oh my God, right. They were not. I know, it's so wonderful. Like when you sit there and listen to the stories and you go like, these are funny only through the prism of you're clean now.
Yeah.
Other than that, you're like, I remember that day and I hated you so much for it.
Oh, man.
I remember the fight I had with my wife because of that. I remember the sex I lost out on because of something you did.
Are you keeping track of sex you lost out on because of Jay?
You got it, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to.
Take it out on him.
Yeah.
All right, here it is. Touch it.
I also see, in the interest of accurate promotion, I also see, Jason, that you're doing something else at the Lovitz this weekend that involves Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. What's this about?
I am. We're doing a little tournament that starts at 11 and it goes to 6. And I did it before. I did it a few months back, and they have the new Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3, so I wanted to do another one. And
it's awesome.
Yeah, it's so much fun. You're terrible. I'm not terrible. That good either. It's different. There's so much more to it now that it almost seems like a different game. It's like the same, but not. It's harder. I'm not that good either. But I don't know. I'm really into the game, and I have a bunch of cool people who have chipped in, and we have prizes and stuff. So
what is it? Tournament? You just show up and play video games?
Yeah, the teams can sign up, and there's gonna be 16 teams, and they're gonna play, and the top team will get prizes, and there'll be raffles and stuff. And really, it's just to come hang out and use the space and play the game. Yeah, and
a bunch of people like gather in public to play Call of Duty, and drink, and they can drink and eat and stuff.
Yeah, they can drink.
It's weird. It's like being
prizes.
Social while not being social. Because isn't that game about staring at a screen and shooting things?
Well, yeah, but you might be shooting the guy next to you.
So you're talking the whole time, like,
yeah,
oh,
yeah, you got the head. We got headsets.
We're killing people together. We're best friends.
Don't you shoot me?
Is that what the game is mostly? A lot of that.
Well, the people that are playing, but even when you're not playing, we're gonna have a bunch of those like stand up Xbox. Box games, you know, like they have this TV and the thing. So different games will be off to the side. Football will be playing on a couple of the screens throughout the Lovitz because I know football's
sure. So
big
you hear that?
Football's
popular. Sounds like a real ladies' night out at the job of it.
You get some coming.
This is a sausage fest.
You get some
man.
Girls and some poles, you'll be set, Jay. You'll have the perfect club. Coming,
ladies, if you're looking for a reliable man, maybe not a sexy man, but a reliable man, the John Lovitz Comedy Club on Sunday, that's where you want to be.
Call of Duty's different now because Jonah Hill and Sam Worthington are in it. I saw that on television. So
yeah, I think that was just the commercial.
Oh, I'm not interested.
I think it was, yeah.
I wanted to play Jonah Hill.
Speaking of Jonah Hill, man. Jonah Hill, I've seen a picture of him. The dude is trimmed up.
Yeah, you should see what Ralph's talking about. Is he did one of those everyone has a soldier inside
in
them?
And people don't even recognize
him? I do all the time.
Yeah.
Don't ask, don't tell, Jay. Don't ask, don't tell.
Apparently Jonah had a soldier in him and took him out, and now he looks like that, man.
He does. He's lost a lot of weight.
I don't think some people should lose weight.
Well, I don't either.
I don't know because it's
he says to the guy next to him. Because he's like, you're my meal ticket. That's why you keep eating
no,
fat boy.
No, I don't know. Like, his characters I've seen, I've sort of...
looks
like,
weird.
It does. I don't know.
But you know what? It's like he'll live longer.
No, it's a weird thing.
Whatever.
You know,
it's healthier, maybe. But
it's about our
saying,
entertainment. It's not about his health.
It's a weirder thing.
You're right. Give me the fried chicken.
It's a strange thing to say he's funny or fat.
Yes. No,
he is funny or fat.
Yes. How do you know?
It's his character. That's what I've grown to love is that guy. It'd be like if Jay all of a sudden gained 300 pounds and was like, snooch to the dude.
Ironically, I'd be like, I don't want to work with a fatty. This is disgusting.
On that note, let's take a break. Kevin Smith and Jay Mews are here. We will be right back on the Kevin.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Friday. Kevin Smith and Jason Mews in studio with us right now. By the way, that Call of Duty event that Jason was talking about, which is going to be at the John Lovitz Theater, Universal, is Sunday. Doors open at around 11:30. You can get the details on their website right there. And if you're going to San Juan Capistrano, see the boys on stage at the Coach House tonight. By the way, speaking of on stage,
there'll be some more swallows in San Juan Capistrano that night. You know what I'm saying, fellas?
Huh? You with me? Huh?
I'm a spitter.
Oh, all right. Thank you. We have been following this week, guys. The Golden Globes announcing Ricky Gervais back as host.
What a shock! Not surprising though. I figured even based on like some of the edgier material he did,
which was great,
which was made the show watchable and chat-worthy. And then in the wake of what happened last year with the Academy Awards with James Franco and Anne Hathaway. To me, it was like, it's only a matter of time before they're like, hey, man, we better bring Ricky Gervais back.
Really?
That made it all buzzworthy.
I agree, but he was making fun of some of Hollywood royalty or whatever.
That's what you want.
I agree. That's what I want. Yeah. But you think that's not what Hollywood
wants. Well, that's what they used to say. Well, they said when it aired, there were a few people going, I don't know if anyone wants this. Everyone wanted it, man. Yeah. Once they realized.
As long as it wasn't them.
Exactly. They're like, they could throw him under the bus but, like, oh, it's Ricky. That's what Ricky says. But he's a genius, man. We were just watching... this morning, man, I tweeted this clip from, he's doing a new show, Life's Too Short.
Oh, his shows are so good. He's the guy that came with The Office, for those of you who don't know.
Yeah,
and extras, too.
And extras as well. Love. And this is airing on the BBC in the UK, but Ralph said it's going to start airing on HBO soon?
Yeah, in the beginning of next year.
What's the name of it?
It's called Life's Too Short, and it stars Warwick Davis, who played Wicket the Ewok, the little guy, and he played Willow and stuff like that, and he was in the Harry Potter movies. There's a clip online which we were dying. I almost wrecked the car laughing at this Liam Neeson bit. There's a bit where Ricky Gervais is playing himself, and Stephen Merchant is his, the guy he works with. He was, you know, an extra
business
as well.
Partner,
plays agent. Exactly. They play themselves. Warwick is in a room with them, and they're ushering him out, but then Liam Neeson is coming in, and he wants to do some stand-up comedy, he's telling him.
Yeah.
And it's Liam Neeson, like, playing that role of Liam Neeson to the T, so everything he says is so grave, and he's talking about how he wants to do.
And he thinks he's so funny.
Oh my God, it is genius! But there's a clip. Maybe you could play this clip.
Here we got it.
Okay, let's do some improvisational comedy.
Okay,
give us a scenario.
Right. Okay. You're a hypochondriac, and Ricky's a doctor.
Pardon?
Come in.
Hey.
Hi. How's it going? What seems to be the problem?
I've contracted AIDS.
How did you get that?
From an African prostitute. I'm riddled with it. The prostitute's from an African country that's ravaged by starvation, so selling her body was the only financial recourse she had left.
Do you mind if I interject for a second, sir? I just think it's getting quite heavy, this sketch, and I just wonder if perhaps, just for the sake of comedy, you might not want to have contracted AIDS from an African prostitute. Just...
Uh-huh. No.
Come in.
Hi.
Hi, what seems to be the problem?
As I said before, I've got full-blown AIDS. You want to know how I got it?
Sure.
I'm a well-known homosexual actor.
Wow. Okay.
It was...
I wouldn't say the name just because of the...
I got it from a non-specific actor.
Does he know he has AIDS?
Who?
Again, I just wouldn't name them. And also, I just think AIDS is, as I said before, just a really heavy subject for... comedy.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I could have bowel cancer.
Cancer? Cancer, though, and AIDS and famine are just not really subjects for comedy.
Well, why does he get away with it, then?
He's talking about Richard Gervais. He's like, why does he get away with it?
Why does he get away with it?
See, Liam Neeson is funny. Who knew, right?
That is genius, man. You go to YouTube, you can see that clip. He is hysterical.
Search Ricky Gervais and Liam Neeson. You can
If you just do Ricky Gervais, Liam Neeson, that's the top.
And there's another clip with Johnny Depp in a similar situation across the desk from each other where Depp confronts him about making fun of the tourist during the Golden Globes.
Awesome.
And he comes in and he is... pissed at Ricky Gervais and just goes off on him.
Love it.
Which features my favorite line, which is, no one makes fun of Tim Allen on my watch.
Now, Kevin Smith, I wanted to ask you this. Sure. We're talking about the Golden Globes, and you know the reports this week after the Gervais announcement was that there were a few members of the Hollywood Foreign Press Association who had expressed some concerns about Gervais' material, but by and large, most of them enjoyed it. That's a tiny group of people that I imagine you've had interaction with over the years with all the various films you've had out, right?
Absolutely.
Is it less than 100 dudes or something?
It's about, it feels about 50 or less whenever you sit down with them. Now, maybe that's because the size of my movie's been kind of small.
Less.
Yeah, and they're usually kind of on the older side. Nice people and whatnot. I've been sitting down with them ever since, not Clerks, but Chasing Amy was the first time I sat down with them. They nominated Joey Adams for that flick and whatnot.
And but every I heard you flick had to I really ever did wine and dine them. Like, you really have
I
to.
I guess. I kind of got screwed over this year. I didn't get screwed over, but I guess it's my fault. I should pay more attention or ask somebody else to pay more attention while I was paying attention to the 10,000 other things we do. We went to submit Red State to them and, you know, called up. And we were like, hey, we want to schedule our screening. And they said, you missed it. We were like, what are you talking about? It was late October, early November. And they said, and we called before the deadline, the submitted deadline, which I don't understand why you have to submit films. Like, if you make a film, aren't you just...
Isn't it submitted once it's out there?
Yeah, once you make a film,
I don't understand the eligible world
for any award. But no, like, SAG Award makes you submit. And I'm like, SAG Award, once you have SAG actors in it, I had to jump through hoops to get SAG actors in the movie. Once you get SAG actors in it, shouldn't SAG just be like, hey, every SAG film is eligible?
Right.
But no, there's a deadline they want you to fill. This thing with the Golden Globes, they were like, you didn't set up a screening for us when the movie was in release. And I said, what are you talking about? We did do an award screening. And they said, that was for the Academy. You have to set up one specifically for the Golden Globe. And I said, you know
what?
I apologize. We have no infrastructure this time around. I'm doing it myself. I know that's not an excuse. But I will say, we didn't have a typical release. And if you want to call what we did that screening week that we did in Los Angeles a typical release, that was a month and a half ago. I feel like we're within the window. And they're like, no, you've missed the deadline. I was like, I'm not saying I'm a legacy, but you know, Chasing Amy, if we had some nods.
Hey, remember me?
Yeah.
Hey, guys.
Yeah, I'm not. Melissa Leo just got the award last year. And she's like, oh, yeah, Melissa Leo's in the movie. She's like, well, let me see what I could do and I'll get back to you. And they didn't. They didn't get back to me.
Wow.
They said because a month and a half ago, we didn't set up a screening just for the Hollywood Foreign Press members.
Are you serious? Just,
yeah, that's it. Now, Michael Parks, who is an absolute shoo-in, and especially, like, I'm getting all my DVD screeners right now. Like, he would have definitely gotten a nod. I'm not saying he wouldn't necessarily won, but you show me four better performances this year than Michael Parks in Red State or John Goodman in Red State. And now, because of like a dopey thing like this, where you're supposed to go to them, come down on one knee, and be like, here's a special screening just set up for you guys.
And you have to serve them chocolate covered strawberries.
I guess there's supposed to be some things there.
The palm frond. Yeah. You should wave it over him.
I mean, ask Weston, Sharon Stone. Remember, like a few years ago, she got accused of, she gave out pens to the Hollywood Foreign Press people. The year of Casino, and she got nominated, and everyone was like, what a scandal, it's payola. But I'm like, I think if you actually just show up and set up a screening for them, they'll take you seriously. But I'm like, if we would have done that, if we had done anything close to normal.
Right.
But again, we're here before the deadline. Why can't we have the screening? She's like, well, if everyone did what you did, they would just wait till the end of the year and have all these screenings, and it would be hard for us to set up all these appointments. And I'm like, I think it's our responsibility to set up a theater and invite them to the screen. Like, they shut us out because of something dopey, and I'm just like, wait, if you're a film, aren't you eligible?
No, first of all.
No, you know how much it costs to win an Academy Award in this town? Not win, run for. No. Minimum, I was told. We had called up a bunch of places, can't name them because cats get all sorts of touchy. $250,000 to run somebody for an award.
What does that mean to
run for
an award?
Well, I saw last year Jennifer Lawrence, you know, got nominated for a tiny, tiny, wonderful movie called Winner's Bone, and the people to put this movie out, very small. I'm like, there's no way they spend a bunch. And then somebody was just like, oh, no, yeah, you have to spend money. Melissa Leo
told
us. What
do you spend money on?
Oh, you have
ads
to buy ads.
Ads.
You have to make sure that you have special parties and whatnot. I was immediately told you have to have a party for the movie at this one specific actor's house that everybody does it at. There's this campaign. Like, it costs like anything, just like it costs to run for president. In order to, like, get your film even nominated, even considered for nomination, there's hoops to jump through. And that, I get it. If it's a club or an organization giving out a prize, they can set up all the rules they want. But don't make it, then don't call it the best picture of the year or something like that when it's like, well, it's the best of this little group that, you know, actually ran our gamut and paid off and did what you're, not paid off like money, but like, you know, did what you're supposed to do, all these steps to even be considered for an award. It's so frustrating, man, when it's just like, so really, the best performances, they don't win. It's like, who pays first? And then it's based out of this select field who will be the best performer.
And then it's less than 50 people that vote on that?
Yes. And I don't care. Like, I don't want awards. I could care less. But that cast of mine, they deserve better consideration. Now, some people will be like, hey, you should have thought of them. You should have been doing something. Again, you're right. I should have. Unfortunately, I wasn't crossing my T's, checking, you know, dotting my I's, making sure that someone else was making sure we were submitted on time and stuff. Maybe that's my fault, but I find it frustrating. So frustrating.
We need to take a break. Let me just ask one question before we do that.
Yes.
How would that whole story have played out had you smoked less pot?
man, let me think about it on the break.
All right, we'll be
Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes are in studio right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Yeah, they're a good old Jay and Silent Bob, of course, from the Smodcast that they do together called Jay and Silent Bob Get Old. Is this the slogan still? No trench coats, no hair extensions, bound for the grave?
Sometimes.
Who's aging better between you two guys?
I think Mewes, man. Like, Mewes
does look good.
Yeah, he's actually aged better now into an attractive young man.
He looks better now than he did when he was using, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, if you look at him in
Jay and
Silent Bob Strike
Back. You guys know he's in the room, right?
Yeah. You look at him in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, he looks older and paunchier than he does.
But, Ralph, haven't you talked about this on Showbiz before? As like the heroin guys, like the Navarros of the world, you look at Anthony Kiedis, you look at him and go, how does he look so much younger now than he did back when he was on the horse?
There is some quality to it. I don't know, it's some sort of preservative they must put in there or something. But like Billy Idol and Scott Weiland and guys like that, they just look great.
So you say
use heroin?
Yes, use it.
Then quit.
Then quit.
No, put it away. It's an investment of 10 years, but you'll look young forever.
That's right.
It's like oil of Olay.
It's a deal with the devil. Is what it is.
All right, let's talk about, because I know it's one of your favorite shows. Well, it's one of our favorite shows, too. But Kevin Smith, I know you love The Walking Dead. And you just dropped on us during the song there that you're going to be on the follow-up this Sunday night after the new episode airs, The Talking Dead with Chris Hardwick, which is, I mean, that's for obsessive fans to stick around to even to talk about an episode they just saw, right?
It is. It's an to me, that's the dream after show of any show. Every show should have an after show where people sit around and just go like, let's talk about what just happened.
Especially for a show like this where stuff happens.
Of course. And Hardwick
is... in the barn. You know that one last year? You go, whoa,
Don't. I was in Iceland.
You haven't seen it?
No, not last week. They just sent over...
I'm just kidding.
You ruined it. but that is that to me is it seems fun. Like, Hardwick's a funny dude.
Yeah, it is. It looks...
And
it's funny.
I think I'm sitting down with the dude from Blink 182. What's his name? Mark Hoppus?
Yeah.
So that'll be cool.
He's funny.
Yeah. I'm like, the whole time I'm just going to keep whispering to him, I miss you. He's going to ask me a question. I'm going to be like, don't waste your time. I'm going to really kill the airwaves that night. That show is fun to watch, man. The zombie show on TV. Why'd it take so long?
And it's so good.
Doesn't make you mad. It's one of those shows where you go like, I should have been doing this. I should have thought of this 10 years ago. This is a genius idea.
Not me. I'm not even in that realm. I just go, this is great. Someone came up with it. I'm glad
you just like that. Like, I look at Lost and I go, I could never do that. Good for you.
Right.
But I look at Walking Dead, I'm like, zombies on TV. Why didn't someone see this sooner?
But zombies on TV done really well.
Yeah.
I mean, I could do zombies on TV, but it wouldn't.
Yes. Good. Well, of course.
That's what I'm saying.
It has something to do with the quality of the material.
But but it's cyclical, too. I think zombies were hot for a minute, and then in the movies, and then it kind of went away and became sort of a parody and joke of itself, and then it kind of came full circle, and they freshened it up and put it on television.
And they worked their... They slowly... You know how slow zombies move? They slowly work their way to TV, and that's where
that's right. I have a question about that, though. They're not as slow as we were led to believe. They run,
first of all. Yeah, they're freaking... Depends who's doing it.
So it's a poorly named show. Yeah. On The Walking Dead, they run.
The Rushing Dead.
They run. They climb fences. No!
The Active Dead wouldn't be as good, I don't think.
Come on now.
They do a lot of things. Show by show, you get to see them do a lot of things that you didn't know zombies did before.
Yes.
So you know eventually we're getting to the masturbating dead. And how fun and weird that would be.
Yet it's creepy when I say it. I see.
Exactly.
It is creepy.
I thought that was a little creepy when Kevin said it.
Okay, hold on. But hold on. Bean said it when we had the actress that plays the sheriff's wife in the studio.
Yeah, that's
what
Bean said.
I asked if zombies had sex.
Hey, do zombies have sex? Yeah.
Really?
That's what Bean asked. Yeah.
All right, let me ask you this.
I never use that voice.
It was troubling.
It's not, and I don't either, by the way. It's not that far of a jump to go from zombies to werewolves and vampires. I want to know what Jay and Silent Bob think about Twilight. What's your take on that franchise?
I mean, my kid was way into it and whatnot. It's porn for tweens, really. Like, whenever you look at it, you're just shirtless tween boys. She was kind of into it, not as hardcore this time around.
I thought I was really excited. I was trying to get her tickets for the premiere for this new one, and I was like, she's going to think I'm the best. And then I was like, hey, do you want to go? And she's like, no.
So lame, Uncle Jay.
She's like, I'm hanging out with my friends tonight. I was like, all right. And she's like, I want to hang out with you.
It was, she was just not
so
much kind of into it. She was like, I'm going to go see it with, she wanted to see it with her friends.
Yeah,
she didn't
want
to go to
the
premiere.
She doesn't want him.
Well,
yeah, she was just like, I don't know.
The estimate I heard on the TV this morning was 130 million plus for the weekend. They're expecting.
That's what they're expecting.
People waited 4 days, 4.5 days in line.
Is this the one where a baby comes out?
Not to see it, to see the cast going.
Just to see Robert Pattinson walk a carpet.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. That's the one where the baby comes out, I think. Yeah,
this is the first part or the second part?
The first part.
This is the first part.
So this will be it. So what do they do? How follow that? What's your encore to the baby coming out?
I don't know.
Because more stuff happens.
Well, did you read the book?
Yeah.
So wait a second. When the baby comes out, doesn't it involve like a... It's not as easy as like, ta-da.
No, because it grows super fast.
How fast?
Yeah, she's like, having trouble.
Within a week or two.
It gestates to full bone.
Yeah.
And the baby's come out of
chewing
a butt,
its
right?
way out.
No,
the baby's come out of
it's
butt,
like
right?
ripping her open is essentially what's happening.
Well, isn't that what they're talking about, too? Because they're saying
it's
the only way
kill
she
her.
Could survive
and so
is
he
if
has
she
to,
turns into a vampire.
Spoilers.
No, don't do that.
Well, I mean,
not everybody read the book.
Because this is for those who don't give a crap. Spoilers. Earmuffs. He turns her into a vampire.
I'm not going to say.
Yes.
Yes, is that what
happens? But there has to be a C-section. They have to get the baby out.
Right.
Or a V-section, I guess if a vampire does it.
No, it's all about her deciding if she wants to become a werewolf or a vampire.
Oh, I can see
well,
why.
Well, she's kind of already made that decision.
So much.
Jared, she's already a mummy, so.
JD.
Nice, thank you.
Sweetly.
Nice.
Hey, were you more excited about going? Is that why your heart was broken when Kevin's daughter said no?
I was.
You wanted,
I didn't want to go alone.
Cover date.
Yeah, because that would look bad.
He wants to see what Tyler Lautner looks like.
Yes.
Jay was going to go alone wearing his Penn State jersey and just show up. Just show up at the premiere. Trolling for dates.
I didn't have anyone to go with, so at that point.
That story is heartbreaking.
It is.
And
crazy.
It just keeps growing.
It's getting bizarre.
Doesn't it remind you, though, of the Catholic Church scandal? It's the same thing. Huge patriarchal organization, bunch of old white men trying to keep a dirty secret or many quiet for a long time
just to keep the money coming
just to save some buildings and the honor of the name of a dopey school. So weird how many people like talk about like they're talking in New York Times, they talk to Penn Staters who, you know, used to go there. How are you dealing with this crisis? Because I guess people who went to Penn State, if you know someone who goes to Penn State and you hear about this, you're like, you went to Penn State, tell me about it. So they're on the carpet answering questions about something they never had anything to do with. And for that reason, there was a kind of sympathetic piece written about them. I'm like, who cares? It's a school. And a school didn't even do it. It just happened at the school, man. But the school covered it up, and that's what makes it evil.
I don't know what happened. I'm sorry. I'm behind.
We don't have time.
You got to Google it, man.
No, tell me, please.
No, we don't have time. Here, the long and short, nothing good.
There was a vampire at the school, okay, who met a werewolf.
Somebody had to make a decision.
All right. We have to take a break. Guys, can you stick around for one more? Because Ralph's got the showbiz beat coming up next year.
Oh, my God. I would have to, yes.
Nothing. Kevin, does Landon Donovan know you're cheating on him with Omar Gonzalez, who we're talking to next from the LA Galaxy?
He's not my girlfriend, dude.
You and Landon break up? What happened here?
Are you that big a soccer guy?
Yeah, I am.
How big? Wait, what is bigger, hockey or soccer?
I don't know.
Good question.
Did you watch Kings game last night?
Yeah, I did. Only until the Ducks turned off the lights.
What happened? Because the last time I tuned in, it was 2-1.
Yeah.
And
then between the periods, the Ducks said, look, we can't beat them. We're just going to have to turn off the lights. That's, as far as I know, that's how it ended
up. So what, the power went out?
Yeah, I don't know. They couldn't get the lights on. They had some kind of problem. I don't know.
I was watching the Oilers.
I was coming back from the poker tournament.
Horrible, horrible game.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to talk soccer, MLS Cup this weekend with Omar Gonzalez coming up after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Jason Mewes is here. Kevin Smith is here. Ralph Garman is here, too. Time for the Showbiz Beat on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Speaking of which, of course, Hollywood Babylon Saturday night at the Lovitz. Kevin and I.
Funny show.
Taking the knickers off of Hollywood and giving them a hard time. 10 o'clock at the Lovitz. And then it's a double feature this weekend because at 8 o'clock, we're doing our Hollywood Babylon Comic-Con Theater, which is where we take one of Kevin's comic books that he's written, and we perform it live on stage.
You can hear it at smodcast.com, the first one we did, but it is fun. We take an issue of Batman that I wrote, Cacophony, number 2 this time around, and read it aloud, including, like, you know, at the sound of the beep, turn the page, boop, and the audience follows along. And Ralph does, like, almost the entire cast by himself. It's kind of like a one-man show.
Oh, that's fun.
And I sit next to him and take credit. It's a really, really fun show. But that's 8 o'clock on Saturday?
Yeah, 8 o'clock on
that's
Saturday.
That's our show. Is Ralph's a one-man show, and we sit back and take credit.
Yeah.
Same
right?
thing.
I found a niche. Speaking of which, you know, we did this, we do Hollywood Babylon together, of course, our very famous podcast, very popular. Very, very famous. it's so much so that somebody wanted to turn it into a TV show. We did this pilot with Telepictures for a TV show called Tonightly. This week I've been out there in the world showing it to a few places. And, oh, my Lord.
Really?
Wonderful reaction.
Awesome.
Yes, yes. So
awesome.
You might be seeing me and Ralph on the television.
Yeah. That's what they do. They give you a lot of praise when they're not writing any checks. That's the way it works out.
I'll take it. I don't need money. I just want praise. I'll figure out money
Ralph
some other way.
Money.
Yeah, I need money.
You need money?
Yeah. So
work on that
work
part.
Harder.
This is great. We'll call you back on the money.
Oh, you guys are so talented. We'll get in touch. That's how you work. People are like, how do you work so much? Just do it for free. Yeah. The moment you tell people, like, I'll do it for free, they're like, why not? Spin a lot of plates.
Sure. I hear you.
All right, let's take a look at the showbiz news. Demi Moore has pulled the plug on the 6-year-long marriage with Ashton Kutcher.
Oh, my God. This is the only time in my life I've ever been sorry that I'm married.
Like you would take a stab at Demi?
I've always thought Demi Moore was beautiful,
but
man.
But she's the one that if you... She's the one?
I'm not saying the one, but I'm saying it's one of the
one.
Only times that I'm
one.
Like, damn. As
That's
if
right,
I
Jay's the
a
one.
Chance at Demi Moore.
Jay's the one.
Sure. I think he's an idiot, man. She's gorgeous.
Clear.
Still gorgeous.
Yeah,
and
she
she's
is.
Interesting.
She's amazing.
And she's a great mom. She's raised those kids practically by herself. I'll say it again. Practically by herself.
Right.
I worked with the guy. She is gold, dude. You don't find many people like that, let alone women like that. Smart,
in
funny,
Hollywood.
Talented.
Yes.
She's cheap to feed. We know that much.
She's very thin.
She doesn't eat much.
Right. And you know she's got her own life, so she won't constantly be up in your face like, what are we doing today? why this dude would go, you know, to Burger King when he had, you know, prime rib at home is beyond me.
Because sometimes you just want a Whopper, man.
Is that what it is?
That's what it is.
He's an idiot. I mean, I'm sorry. For years, people going, that guy's an idiot. I'm like, nah, he seems to know what he's doing. This was an idiotic move. You don't let Demi Moore go. Only an idiot would let Demi Moore go.
I don't think he was planning on letting her go.
And I worked with that guy, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. I don't think he was planning on letting her go. I think he was going to bang a 22-year-old in San Diego and then go home to his wife. Right. I don't think he had any plan of letting his wife go.
You're playing with fire. You're letting her go at that point. Why would you, if I was married to Demi Moore, every day I'd just wake up and be like, what do you want to do? I'd be the creepy one where she would want to cheat on me because I'd be so up in her face.
Yeah.
That's your plan?
That's
my plan.
Equally terrible
right
plan.
Now. I know.
Women love that. Women love that when you're the creepy guy in their face.
She might. How old is she now?
49.
Yeah, man. Like, hey, you know,
She's 49, but she looks 30, 29.
Yeah. She looks phenomenal. I watched that movie, The Joneses, that she did with David Duchovny. And we watched it in HD on a gigantic screen, dude. She holds up. There's nothing there. There's no camera trickery. That's all to me.
It's not all to me. She's been getting work done for 20 years now to look like
it's
that.
All to me and a few doctors.
She gets followed around like a pit crew in an Indy 500 race. Even like when something starts to drive. And they tighten up her ass, and then she just keeps walking down Rodeo.
But meanwhile, so she's a well-tuned race car, precision-driving race car, and he's off, you know, at the car wash, just trolling for Volkswagens and Jettas and stuff.
Well, look, because you can have a really good
car 57
Caddy that you took really good care of, or you can have a brand-new car that rolls right off the
2012.
Oh, that's got that new car smell. It's got that new car smell.
Clint Eastwood, dude, you go Gran Torino.
No, but again,
Demi Moore is a Gran Torino.
But again,
he
was just taking a test drive.
That's right. He wasn't buying it.
With the new
car. Sorry, man. This dude's an idiot.
He's test driven more than once, too, is our impression.
That's
really? Right?
That's the account. Yeah, there's the new one, Sarah Leal from San Diego. There's a 22-year-old named Brittany Jones who claims she had sex with Ashton in July of 2010. Apparently, this is a pattern, and that's why Demi released a statement yesterday
test
saying,
drives.
All test drives.
Yeah, just feeling the leather.
That's right. She says, there are certain values and vows that I hold sacred, and it is in this spirit that I have chosen to move forward with my life. It has been a trying time, and I ask for compassion and privacy. Things have been very strained.
She's got it.
She's sort of uptight.
I'm going to give it all to her.
And give Save Kevin Smith my phone number, she adds there at the end.
I feel so bad for her, man. Here's the advice I would have given him. Even if Demi Moore says to you, you should have sex with someone else.
Right.
You just say no.
Well, that's just dumb.
Yeah, you never. That's a trap. I mean, maybe how old is this kid? 12? How do you not know that? That's if that happened. But regardless, once you bond yourself to a Demi Moore, there's no reason to have sex with somebody else. There's no reason for cheating. I'm sorry. No. It's in the bylaws.
You're this close to getting your guy car pulled, I'm telling you.
No, she's... I'm telling you, dude.
Is your wife listening today? Is your wife listening at home? Is that what's going on?
Not at all, but it's rare when you find someone... Look, again, she's pretty. Everyone knows that. And she's been pretty forever.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
But she's been doing it by herself for a long, long time. She's got career longevity. She's always good and stuff.
How do you know she's been raising her kids by herself?
Well, I mean, she got...
Worked with a guy.
Yeah, I worked with a guy. She's got it. Very rarely do you find someone kind of that well put together and also gives a crap about their family and whatnot. And I don't know. He was welcomed into that.
Yeah.
You know, we all watched. It was weird.
It was weird.
Because Bruce the other was guy was still much. Around. Yeah. I don't know who you're talking about. But he was still there, too. But we all watched and still it kind of worked and it charmed us a little bit. Like, right on. Somehow they're making it creepily work over there.
Right.
But this guy, bad move, dude. Bad move. I understand. Every dude in the world is just like, he could be getting younger chicks. But that
What about the
passes.
Kids? He's going to break the kids' hearts.
That too. Yeah, that's the hard those kids part, seem think. To take to him and whatnot. Oh, it's outrageous.
And there's no word on who gets custody of Bruce Willis either. So we don't know how he's going to be raised.
It's going to be a long time.
Who's going to raise him?
That dude.
With the guy.
Do you know something about him?
No. I've heard some stuff.
All right.
They were divorced how many years ago? They have a very odd relationship.
Yes.
In terms of...
Apparently, Bruce pulled him aside after the cheating thing happened and gave him a stern talking to. He was very upset with Ashton Kutcher.
Okay, now that's ironic.
That's weird.
You can't do that. He's not allowed to do that because, if I remember correctly, that's why he's not married to Demi Moore. Those are the rumors.
He was test driving quite a bit himself.
That's what I'd always heard. Yeah, you can't be that guy going like, hey, man, don't cheat unto me. He's like, you did. And he's like, all right.
Why did you do that?
I have less hair than you.
bummer, man.
She deserves better.
I just wonder why these guys get married. Like, why not just date them? Stay dating them and be like, look, eventually I'm going to want to get some new car smell.
I don't know.
You know? So,
look, if it was just about new car smell, you know, that could be accomplished any number of ways. He wanted to go driving. That's different.
Test drive.
Yeah. Well, maybe not. Maybe he just wanted to smell it. Just put his nose in it.
No.
The new car, you mean? The new car.
All right, we need a new story.
Yeah. The new car. Yeah, the new car.
Well, now you know why Hollywood Babylon goes for 2 hours.
Yes.
Because I think we've established Kevin likes Demi Moore and wouldn't cheat on.
Yes. That's
the,
we've
encapsulated that. That's what we're taking away.
That's the top story of the day. Kevin Smith has a lot of respect for Demi Moore.
And real quickly, it's been announced by Entertainment Weekly that they are bringing the Munsters back to television. Yes, they are rebooting the Munsters franchise.
Really?
They didn't
this before.
They did it.
The Munsters Today, it was called.
And it was horrible.
Yeah.
They did it twice. They did it once with John Shuck.
Yes.
Remember that actor? Yeah. He did it.
We're the Munsters.
And then Sam McMurray from the Tracy Ullman show also played.
You're right. So they've done it again.
Yes. Yeah,
so
this is the fourth incarnation.
Can I ask you guys a question?
I don't know who any of those people are.
When you guys work in this business.
Sort of.
Barely. Are they just bereft of ideas to the point where they're like, all right, let's go back to the Munsters. It's been long enough. Kids like Frankenstein.
Well, in a Twilight world where vampires and werewolves and mummies and zombies.
That's a stretch, dude. That's a stretch.
Do you think? Really?
Yes.
In Hollywood, you think that's a stretch with all the monster stuff that's blowing up?
What executive is sitting around going like, tweens love vampires, hence they must love a Frankenstein dad.
One of them that made this decision.
Yeah, somebody who had power to greenlight a series made that leap.
Right.
I'm telling you, that's how I think the
logic
is.
Did we make that decision? No.
I mean, it's just like there's got to be a better original idea out there.
Of course
for a show
there are.
There
are tons of original ideas out there.
Hysterical.
Like, but no one wants to make them. No one wants to put any money into them.
Bummer.
Right. Today's celebrity birthday is Delroy Lindo's 59 years old today. Kevin Nealon of Weeds fame is 58.
Funny.
Used to be a Saturday Night Live fame. Now he's from Weeds fame, Kevin Nealon.
58?
58, yes.
That dude is Dorian Gray. Yeah. He looks good. If he got divorced,
I have a lot of respect for Kevin Nealon. He's funny. He's smart. He's attractive. I would never cheat on Kevin Nealon
exactly.
If I was with him.
He looks good for 58.
He's a funny tweeter, too. He's one of my favorite tweeters.
Yeah. He's always remained funny guy. Yep. Utility player, man. You know, they never. Although he had his kind of moment, of course, but he's always. You can put that dude into almost anything. He fits insanely well. Funny guy.
While we're talking about Weeds, Elizabeth Perkins, also from that cast.
Oh, I loved her in Big. When 50, I was a kid,
oh, how in love were you?
I wanted to do was grow up, be a man like Tom Hanks, and meet a girl like Elizabeth Perkins,
yeah.
As in Big. And I did. It was my wife. And it's hell on earth. 2 hours in a movie, you can take that kind of sass, but
yeah.
12 years of just like being told no and I'm an idiot and shutting me down. I'm like, it's so much more charming in a movie.
That's why they never made a sequel.
Exactly.
2 hours is the limit.
There was
that
creepy moment, too, like where, you know, if you've never seen Big, Tom Hanks becomes
Don't
Big.
Don't ruin it.
Sorry, spoilers. And he dates her and she's an adult. And then at the end of the movie, he goes back to being a 13-year-old boy.
Yeah.
And she's looking at him. And like, it's weird because she's like, I had sex with that guy.
Yeah.
It's creepy. But
nobody,
Penny Marshall did such a wonderful job making it magical that we forgot that Big is a movie about female pederasty.
All right.
I did
the
forget
takeaway
that.
From today's show.
Yeah. I'm Ralph Garman. And we all walked the showbiz beat.
Comedian Jim Jefferies joins us in studio in about 15 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And don't forget, you're less than 2 hours away. K-Rock Street Team members are being able to buy tickets for night number 2 of the 22nd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Concert. It's going to be for Sunday night, December 11th at the Gibson. Of course, it will sell out. Make sure you are set to go as a Street Team member to buy your tickets. Details at krock.com. You going to be okay here, Kevin?
I did put up a post at krock.com, kevinandbean.com, that makes the claim that the MLS Cup is bigger than the Super Bowl. And I think I can back that
did
up.
Did you? All right.
I think I can back that up.
Good work.
Well, I know you're excited, and I know a lot of soccer fans are excited, because this Sunday it is the MLS Cup final game, your Los Angeles Galaxy versus the Houston Dynamo, 6 o'clock, Home Depot Center. See it on ESPN. We couldn't be more excited to welcome for the first time to the Kevin and Bean Show, Omar Gonzalez joins us here from the Galaxy. Hi, Omar. How are you, man?
I'm doing well. And you guys?
Very well, thank you.
Well, we're doing great. Just like we said, we're excited. I can't imagine what it's like for you. I mean, this is a weekend you have hoped for all year long, and now here it is. How are you feeling looking ahead towards Sunday?
I'm feeling great. I'm feeling anxious. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to finish business, unlike we did in 2009, so I'm ready to get after it.
Is that the hardest part, just waiting the week of?
Oh, it's terrible.
It's sort of like
wanting to play since we played the last game, so it's just it's been rough.
But. You get a week off like they do in football before the Super Bowl, and so you just sit around and wait and sit around and wait and sit around and wait. But it's worse than you've been looking forward to it, though. I mean, you got David Beckham, you got all these Robbie Keane they brought in. It's almost like you guys, if you didn't get here, failed, and that's a worse kind of pressure to put on.
Yeah, there's definitely been pressure throughout the whole year. You know, we've put together quite the team, and, you know, the final is here. And so, you know, there was quite the pressure for us to make it. And I think that the whole team did well to get here. And, you know, kudos to everyone. And, you know, now it's time to just finish the job.
How do you stack up against Houston? How are their players? How are their forwards that you're going to have to be guarding?
They're actually a good team, you know, to get this far. And, you know, they just work hard. They're very technical, and they like to put a lot of balls in the box, and you know, just try and score off of set pieces. And so, it's going to be my job, and you know, the rest of the back line to you know keep those guys out.
Omar Gonzalez is 9 feet tall, and
he's a big dude.
Yes, and so, when we have corner kicks, David Beckham takes them, and he looks for Omar Gonzalez. And you go in there. Has it gotten a lot rougher since people realize that you're the target? You're the tall guy that's going to head it in. And they seem to push and shove and hold and kick. I don't know what kind of dirty stuff's going on in there, but a lot.
Yeah, it's definitely been rough. You know, they just like to target me, and they like to, you know, to hold me. So I can't really get free, but it's actually been working because it's allowed Mike McGee to get free. And so he's been scoring all the goals lately. And, you know, I'm fine with that as long as we score. I'm all good.
It is funny to see you 6'4", jump and miss, and then little Mike McGee heads it in. You go, hey, where'd that guy come from? I didn't even see him coming. Tell me about having the new guy, Robbie Keane. How's that been? He joined the team this year, midstream.
Robbie's been great. You know, he adds a good banter. You know, he's always cracking jokes here and there, and just you know, get everyone going. And he's excellent on the field, so you know no one can really complain about that. And he's just a great pro. Comes in, does his job, has fun, and we love him here.
But he's Irish. I mean, can you understand a word he's saying?
I have trouble, but I just look at him and smile and laugh, even though I don't know what he just said.
All right, I know we're talking about the championship, which is this Sunday night, 6 o'clock on ESPN. But I would like to ask about the national team, because you were chosen for the U.S. team by Bob Bradley, who was the last coach, and then Bob Bradley got fired. Now they have a new coach, and you haven't been called yet. So, and I know you really want that. So my question for you, holder of temporary or dual citizenship of Mexico, what happens if Mexico calls you and the U.S. calls you? What choice do you make?
I guess I would have to, you know, sit down and just really think about it. But
wrong answer, my friend. Wrong answer.
I think my first choice would be the U.S. just because I was born here, I grew up here, and you know, I've been going through the system. So that's been my dream to you know play for the U.S. But I think another main thing is just playing for someone who really believes in my talent and you know believes in what I can bring to the team. And so you know, I would like to play for the U.S. first, but if you know that doesn't happen, then you know I would really consider playing for Mexico as well.
It has to be a little bit of a bummer to get the new coach, because you had Bob Bradley, like he knew you were good and he called you up I think twice, and then the new coach comes in, you go, oh, I'm starting from scratch again.
Yeah, it's been tough, but you know, that's something that's just out of my control, so I can only just worry about my game and getting better. And you know, I think if I do all the right things here at my club, then you know, good things will happen, and I just have to be patient and wait my time.
Yeah, it's not like you need anything else to think about, particularly when you're playing for a championship this weekend, but you know that the new coach is going to be watching, right? So don't let that get in your head.
Nice.
Oh, yeah, there's no pressure there.
It seems like you guys are under pressure every single game, whether you fall behind a goal or whatever, you got to score two, but your defense is pretty strong. Again, the championship is this Sunday, 6 o'clock. It's going to be on ESPN. It's the Galaxy versus Houston, and Omar Gonzalez has been our guest, number 4 for the Galaxy, and we appreciate your time, Omar. Best of luck this weekend.
Thank you for having me, guys.
You bet.
Take care.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 26 minutes after 8 o'clock.
26 minutes.
After 8
Dear
o'clock.
Kevin and Bean, Dear Kevin and Bean, Julie writes in, hey, when is Jim Jefferies going to be on already? My husband and I just watched one of his stand-up routines on cable. We fell in love with him. His story about the paraplegic friend going to the brothel is hilarious. Ha ha. Four floors of horrors. Sincerely, Julie. Well, Julie, he's here right now. Jim Jefferies joins us in studio on the Kevin and Bean
Show.
Thank
you so much, Julie, for watching my stuff illegally online.
he is going to be on stage tonight at Club Nokia if you want to see Mr. Jefferies on stage, which is something you really should do. It should be on your bucket list if you haven't seen Jim Jefferies on stage. Jeff Jim Reese, exactly.
Whoever's here, he's good. Trust me,
he's good. How you been, Jim? What's going on?
I've been very good. I had a show a couple of days ago in San Diego. Went amazing, and now I've got the LA gig. And
you said the crowd was amazing in San Diego. I can't imagine it's very different. I mean, I would think the same people go to comedy.
LA people are a little bit too cool for school, though, aren't they?
Well, yes, that's true for the most part, and in most concerts probably. But I'm saying even around the country, does it vary?
Yeah, you think it's the same. You think San Diego is the same as the people in Ohio or Omaha?
I don't know. I'm just asking.
Well, I'm going to tell you what.
Well, good. That's why I'm asking.
No, they're not.
No.
The Bible Belt gets very difficult.
Well, with you.
With me, I'm the problem.
Well, no, but I'm the problem. That's plus like
going,
the Bible
that's
Belt.
It's like going out with a psychotic girlfriend and not listening to everything she says and just enjoying it because she's really good in bed, but you can't stay with her.
I'm saying you plus the Bible Belt equals the Bible Belt.
Yes, I don't think my atheist... it is a weird thing, though, now. I've just been booked to do, like, an atheist convention in Australia for quite a bit of money. And I think now I'm becoming, like, an evangelist of atheism. I'm profiteering like the Christians do.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, it's fantastic.
Don't believe in God.
Between me and you, I believe in God. I'm just making so much money. of course there's a God. It would be ridiculous for there not to be. What would happen after we die? I imagine it would be similar to the years before you were born, but, you know, let's not talk about
that. Don't tell the people in Australia that, though, because you got booked for a big gig there. So
but I don't know why you go to an, atheist convention in Australia. When have you ever heard the Jesus Australians are a religious bunch?
Yeah, that's true.
Never.
I don't know why you would need to go to an atheist convention at all, though. What do you do at a convention?
I'm with you.
Agree
I think one of the privileges of being an atheist is that you get your Sundays off. You know,
right.
you mightn't get the afterlife, but you're making it up.
One day a week. You get
one day a week. You know, all these Christians lose 1/7 of their life. And I don't have to lose that. I don't have to think about it. But now it's like, all right. I don't know what they do at these conventions. You all just get together and go, oh, we're right. There's nothing.
Right. And then what?
It must be easy to have
sex. Then you
break
for dinner. Oh, I see.
I went to the Little People's Convention in the Marriott in Anaheim.
Why did you do that?
Because I'm a charitable guy, and when the little people call, you go.
Okay.
So it was...
Did the little people like you?
Many of them did. The thing is, I brought Eddie Ift along, who actually will be doing the warm-up for the gig at the Nokia. And Eddie, over the years, has done a lot of dwarf jokes, which is the appropriate term. You can't say midget.
Correct.
He does a lot of those jokes, and word had gotten around that they didn't like him.
Really? Yeah. So they didn't invite him, but you, yes.
Yeah, well, he just came along as my mate. And, you know, but I'll tell you something about the dwarf convention.
You can tell me everything.
Please,
about a dwarf convention.
About it. I'm fascinated.
There was thousands of them in this big thing, right? And the little kids everywhere... Once you see a dwarf kid, it's the most adorable thing you have ever seen. Like, I'm telling you, melts your heart.
Are they...
It makes you not want a real one. Like I'm serious. Like, you're just like, I was going to kidnap a few of them. They were beautiful. Like, I'm not joking. Adorable.
I believe him.
You were going to kidnap a couple of adorable little people.
Adorable little people.
Kids. Although little people's them, little people?
Some of them you don't know. They mightn't have been kids, you see.
Like
I could have been just adopting little old
too.
Men. But the funny thing is that they had the foyer of the hotel and all the kids are riding around on skateboards and bikes and all that type of stuff just in the foyer. And no one, security didn't do anything because they're all like, oh, isn't it great that they're having a good time? Because no one wants to be the one to grab the dwarf child off the back of a bike and go, get out of it. Like, what type of
why,
a-hole
I'm a
would
dwarf.
Do that? Yeah, exactly.
And what do they do at a dwarf convention? What's that
about?
But
this is what I'm getting to. They all have sex with each other.
Oh,
same
okay.
thing.
Same thing as atheist?
Yeah, you want to get together with like-minded or sized people and go, hey, hey.
Let's not get started with the furries then, because we don't have time for that.
Well, see, this is, I don't understand furries either.
All right, we'll take a break and we'll come back.
How does that fetish originate?
I don't know. We'll take a break. Jim Jeffries is here. He's going to be at
and
the...
And why are you wearing one of those outfits right now?
He's going to be at Club Nokia tonight.
And what? We'll... Don't touch me before the ad break. Like, we'll what right are back. You, like some type of football coach? Get off me.
After the ad.
Comedian Jim Jeffries in studio with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. JimJeffries.com on Twitter at Jim Jeffries. You can see him on stage tonight at the Club Nokia. That is going to be tonight. And you said your friend Ed, your friend and roommate and podcast partner Eddie Ift is going to be opening on
he's,
that show
he's
tonight.
Be that's doing,
that's
he's going to be the opening. And if you want to get tickets, I'd get them sort of this morning because I think there's less than 100 tickets left.
Okay. Fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, I want to thank you, by the way, publicly. I want to give you a bunch of credit here, Jim, for coming back on the Kevin and Bean Show, knowing the havoc that we have wreaked on your personal life.
Knowing the havoc that he wreaked on his own personal life.
I take full blame for the first situation. Time. I was seeing a very nice girl, and I was stupidly enough came on this show and started bragging about other girls I was having sex with off air. Whereupon, when I came back, you asked me all about it while I knew the other girl was listening on the radio. So I got dumped last time I was here.
Oh, wait, so that was problem one, and then problem two.
I smoothed it over with her okay. and said, you know, it's radio, and those guys are idiots, and, you know.
That seems to usually work.
And then I came and did your Gibson show, which was for free, which was a charitable move on
April
my
foolishness.
Behalf.
That's correct, yes.
Had a great time, would do it again, but it was for charity.
Right.
Uh-huh. And I show up, and Bean, while I've got my arm around the girl goes, so did you smooth thing over? Did you smooth everything over with all your girlfriends? And she just stared. And then she walked away, and then he just sort of winked at me like, I know what I'm doing. You know? I don't do this
sounds
by
like
accident.
No, he does nothing by accident.
This is why he has to live on an island
that's
somewhere,
correct.
Because he can't socialize with others in a public forum.
That's correct.
I'm barely allowed to talk to people as it is. So, but that was the, and that was the last girl you were ever able to get too, right?
Yeah,
if I know you, you're done now, right?
I can't meet girls anymore.
You can't
no.
meet girls anymore.
But now,
like
as I said, I'm a big TV star now.
Well, now I wanted to hear about that because last time you were in, you told us that was kind of in the pipeline that might be happening for FX. But that is real. You filmed it now.
I think that was actually the last time I was here. I think that was still I was still out to deal with Comedy Central. But since then, I've got this is with FX, and we've filmed a pilot. And
what is it?
We're going into edit on Monday, and I'm really proud of it. But I don't know yet until we see the edit. It's basically what you were saying before. If you like my stand-up and you know the story about my friend with muscular dystrophy, then you're going to love the pilot episode because it's got a lot of that in it. Now, so we had to cast a person with muscular dystrophy to do the thing, and also to the people listening, we don't take the piss out of disability and the thing. But there is a disabled character in the show,
right?
And so we thought, so that we wouldn't get any letters written into us, we'll cast an actual person with muscular dystrophy. Now, the person we did cast in the end was DJ Qualls, who, you know, is the skinny guy off Road Trip and Hustle and Flow and all that type of stuff. Great actor. Looks disabled, which is just
which is ideal.
Like, you look at him in the face. If you spend enough time with him, you eventually go, I think he looks normal. And then, and then like you go, no, he doesn't. He's a weird looking. Anyway. So we go to do the audition, and we have all these disabled people coming. And this guy comes in, and I'm not trying to take the piss here, but he was like properly like cerebral palsied up with dribble and just like that. And he came in with his helper. And his helper puts him in the chair, and we're all on the other side. And the helpers, the carer's looking at us like, you a-holes for making him go through this. And we're being a little bit patronizing, as people can be with disability at time, where we're,
right.
like, we're like, it's so nice to have
because
you.
Because you don't want to be the
a-hole. Yeah, but we're trying to be as nice as possible. He does the lines. He does a reasonably good job. And we're like, he walks out, and the director turns to me and goes, Jim, that's our guy. He goes, maybe he wasn't the funniest, but he's got the real disability. I think it'd be a cool thing. Plus, we wouldn't get any flack. And I was like, all right, agreed. He's the guy. All right? The next bloke to come in has a wheelchair, and he wheels himself in, and we're like, oh, well, we've already really given the part to someone else, but anyway, we'll see this bloke. I shake his hand, and I see his leg twitch, and I'm like, whoa, what's that? And he goes, ah, you got me. I just borrowed this wheelchair because I wanted to get into character. Right? And I said, let me get this straight, right? Because the other guy was severely disabled. And I go, let me get this straight. You were sitting in a wheelchair. right? In the waiting room with the really disabled guy and his carer, and you don't need a wheelchair. And he's like, yeah, I guess I was. And we go, can you leave? That's like,
wow.
To me, that's so offensive that you acted disabled in front of a disabled person.
And tried to take the job from him.
And I thought, I just don't like this guy. So that night, I go home. I get onto IMDb because I'm looking at all the casts. We're about to decide who's playing who. And I look on there, and I check out the disabled guy, and I'm like, geez, he's done a lot of movies for a disabled guy. He wasn't disabled.
What?
He was faking too.
He hired a carer.
Oh, what? My God.
That's he had awesome. Him cleaning up the chin. He made up a disease, and he said it so quickly that we all acted like, oh, you got that one. Oh. Right? Now, I'm all for madness. I'm all for it. If you're one of these method actors, and you want to, because actors are all wankers, right? If you want to get into character 3 hours before and all that type of stuff, but do the audition, and then after the audition, go, da-da!
Right.
And we would have all gone, that's very good, right? But don't make me carry you to your car. I'm telling you, I carried this guy down the stairs.
No,
that's not kidding you.
That guy wins.
I swear
to
you.
That guy wins.
Well, you have to hire him now.
In a dribbling, sort of awkward, spasming state. And I did it. And I walked through past all the other actors, just like, oh, I won't be long. I'm the star of this show. I don't carry cripples to their car.
Wow. And he's not even crippled. That's awesome.
He's a great actor,
you
though.
Have to hire that guy.
Well, that's an awesome story.
We kind of wanted to still hire him, but if I just don't want him getting into character every morning, and then there'll be like some new like catering person on the set that are like spoon feeding him. I would get too angry over time.
I think it's also cute that you think if you get a disabled actor, you won't get letters. I find that very
cute. Well, the thing is, I'm not expecting many letters from the people with muscular dystrophy.
Right.
Because, you know,
it never is.
Can't hold pain.
Don't.
Okay. All right. At this point, we were so close to you being the sensitive one.
People can't type anything.
I'm waving him back.
Lisa's waving him off.
I'm expecting some videotapes of them, you know, blinking in Morse code.
Okay, Jim. Listen, we're going to end it right there. JimJeffries.com. Get all the details and upcoming appearances, including the Club Nokia Theater tonight.
I got one more. Advertise Club Nokia tonight, December 30th, I'll be at the Grove at Anaheim, which
New Year's Eve Eve?
Yeah, that's the biggest night of
the
year.
That's the big one, right?
The night before New Year's Eve.
When the real people go out. Going out on New Year's Eve, that's too cliche.
That's a strange booking, but all right.
Oh, it's going to be hard to sell tickets to that one.
December 30th.
It's like a 2,000-seat room. I think we're at like 5 tickets. So if you want some front row tickets, get on it now. But the Nokia tonight's almost sold out.
There you go. Thank you, Jim. Thanks for coming in.
The Expendables, Iron Man 2, The Wrestler, Sin City. What a last few years Mickey Rourke has had. He's in America's number one film called The Immortals right now. We'll talk to Mr. Rourke coming up right after the top of the hour here on The Kevin and Bean Show. First, Rob's here with the Showbiz Beat on a Friday. What's going on?
Iron Man 2.
Don't forget about that. Iron Man.
Sure. Yeah. That's a guy whose career was given up for dead.
Totally dead.
Said, here was a guy with great potential who his career is over and he'll never work again. Man, Hollywood's a
not that he wasn't
place.
A good actor, but that he made some poor choices personally. Yeah,
well,
and
professionally. He quit the business, became a boxer. Right. Did some things that people thought was odd. He stayed away so long that sometimes in this business, people will forget about you if you don't stay working. If you don't stay in the public eye, you can fade away, and that's pretty much what happened to him. And then, boy, what a comeback! Man, the Wrestler was a great, great film. I really enjoyed that movie, and he's doing good stuff. And you saw The Immortals, right?
I did.
Yeah, check that out.
He's great.
Before I get to Showbiz News, I want to read a quick email here from listener Dennis Baker about our poker tournament last night, Kevin.
Okay.
We were there at the San Manuel Indian Bingo Casino for their 10K poker play, and we had a great time. I drank too much.
Early.
You don't need to go to the doubles right away, I guess.
No, you should wait for the doubles.
Or not have the doubles at all, maybe. Well, just drink single shots.
But it was Ralph's birthday, and so everybody was, you know, plying him with alcohol.
Yeah, I'm a little worse for wear today. But I want to talk about Dennis. Hey, Ralph, quick story about last night. I was that guy wearing the Randall Cunningham jersey last night at the tournament. We were talking to Eagles last night, Dennis and I. Anyway, after busting out in the second round, I went downstairs moping and played in a live game. About an hour into it, I hit a bad beat jackpot,
$3,000.
Wow.
Oh. Perfect timing for my trip to Vegas beginning this morning. Thanks again for the tournament. Can't wait for the next one. So he got bumped out of our tournament, went downstairs wow. to the casino, picked up in another game, made $3,000. Went home with $3,000 richer.
Wow.
That's a good story right
Remember
there.
The dude that thought I was Bean? That was awesome.
That was the best.
Hey, Bean.
Yo, Bean. Are you Bean? Kevin's like, yep.
Well, he was drunk, and he didn't really care, I don't think.
Yo, Bean. You remember that company you're going to use for your landscaping just before you moved? Remember them?
He says
good
this,
story.
So then I
used to work for them.
So I say, yeah, I sued him.
Oh, I'm so glad.
No, and I was thinking he would say, what are you talking about? And then he was so happy that
God,
I sued
those guys
him.
Are dicks. I'm so glad, Bean. Who ended up doing the work for you before you moved? Who did the work for you? Bean. And so I'm laughing my ass off in the corner because Kevin keeps telling this guy he's Bean, right? So the party goes on, and we're talking all along, and I'm on the microphone and say, hey, Kevin, Kevin's going to bluff everybody. Be careful, Kevin. Hey, Kevin. David King Mask goes, Kevin. Right in front of this guy all night long. End of the night, I hear, Bean. Yeah, Bean! The entire night, the drunk thought that Kevin was Bean. Couldn't have been funny.
I would prefer if people would quit trying to be, pretending to be me because the stories.
I didn't bring it up.
I know you did, but go ahead and set them straight because the stories that come back to me of things that I've allegedly said and done around Southern California are not flattering.
Honestly, when I said I sued him, I thought that was the end of the I'm being Bean joke.
Right.
That's
then
it.
He would catch off.
Because
right.
he'll know it wasn't true.
Oh, I'm so glad.
And I was like, oh no.
Now I hate those guys.
Now I'm in deep.
Bean.
Yeah, it was hilarious.
And the guy was sitting next to Kevin in the second round of the poker tournament. We were calling him Bean to Kevin's face.
Yeah.
Didn't pick up on it the entire night. Yeah. By the end of the night, it was still, Bean. Yeah. When you go back home? When you fly back? Bean.
Very
weird.
Entertaining.
All right, showbiz news. Today was it. The last Regis Philbin live show today.
I'm very sad.
It's all over, man.
Care at all.
It's all over.
Not in the least.
Regis told The View this week about his new idea for his career path. I want to be Andy Rooney, he said. And I think in about a month he will be. So
bad way.
All that to look forward to.
But you know what's weird, Ralph? And I know Kevin hates Regis and doesn't want to hear about Regis. But what's weird is he's leaving over a contract dispute.
Yeah,
he's not
paying
retiring.
Him what he wants.
Right. They're not paying him enough. He's 80 years old. He says, I'm not done with television. I'm not retiring. I'm not going anywhere. This isn't goodbye. He says he's going to move on and do something else now at 80.
He's lying to himself, by the way.
Crazy. You think?
Yes.
That you think somebody would want Regis?
Sweetest gig on the planet. It was a hit for him. It was a good niche. He had a comfortable situation. There's no way he...
30 years he's been doing it, too.
No way he takes a new show someplace, a talk show or something, and makes it work like that. I guarantee you it won't be a success.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it seems like he sure had a good gig. I mean, he lives across the street from the studio. He gets up, goes over there, does the show. He's done
How
in an hour.
How much do you know about Regis?
His alarm code is 79214.
He lives across the street.
He is a legend. He has been on television more than any human ever.
He's got a mauve chenille sofa in his living room.
There are a lot of legends. I don't know where they live.
When his dog died on December 14th, 1991, man. I couldn't have been sadder.
I want to kill you.
I'm sad today because it turns out now, not only don't we have a Napoleon Solo for the Man from U.N.C.L.E. movie, but we don't have a director anymore. Steven Soderbergh has said, nope, I'm not going to do the Man from U.N.C.L.E. He's washed his hands of the project. The only reboot, the only remake that I've been looking forward to in the past 20 years was this thing, and they just can't seem to make it work.
Maybe he got word that you were supporting it. Steven Soderbergh.
It's time for me to step in and direct.
Yeah.
And star. And write it.
There you go. I think that's the only option.
Play both roles. Napoleon Solo and Ilya Kuryakin.
The only real option.
And the female lead. It'll be a one-man production.
And your twin sister.
And my twin sister. Yeah, sadly, it's all gone by the wayside. Looks like the project may be dead now because they've got a script. But the budget apparently is pretty low, and Soderbergh was one of the few people to sign on for a 3-film franchise at that budget. So we may be a while before we see this come to fruition, which bums me out because I was looking forward to it. CBS announced yesterday that they are renewing Survivor for 2 more seasons. That means the show will run through the 2013 season with Jeff Probst as host. You know, that show continues to be in the top 20 each week.
I know.
It gets over 12 million viewers every week. I watch. My wife and I watch. We really like it.
Do you still watch?
It's a well-done show. However, Joy Behar's show has not been renewed. It's been canceled, according to a Hollywood Reporter. Her show on the headline news network. By the way, did you ever watch her show?
Not once.
It was really rough. Really? I mean, she just reads cue cards. That's all she does. She hasn't seen one of her guests ever on that show because I think she's constantly staring at the cue cards reading stuff.
That's unfortunate. Yeah. She's so annoying on The View that there wasn't any reason for me to go, hey, I wish I could get a full hour of just that.
Yeah. And Lady Gaga admits that she has strange restroom habits.
Oh, wait. Lady Gaga has strange habits? Really? Yes.
She says when she is doing a show, it's often difficult for her to get to the facilities because of her costume changes and things like that.
Yes.
That makes sense, yeah.
So often she finds herself having to take matters into her own hands, and she says she relieves herself in nearby trash cans.
Too much information and shit, man.
What?
Yeah. She will take care of her business in a nearby trash can on stage.
What? At least Fergie had the decency to just pee herself. You know, just like for everyone to see.
I'll give you a little something to think about this weekend. Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays, Delroy Lindo, very talented actor, 59 years old today. Kevin Nealon celebrates his 58th birthday. His castmate from Weeds, Elizabeth Perkins, is 51. Oscar Nunez from The Office is 53. Owen Wilson is 43 years old today. Talica guitarist Kirk Hammett is 49. Peta Wilson, La Femme Nikita, turns 41 years old today. Chloe Sevigny is 37.
Every hour you say it.
I won't be able to do it next year. Gets a just 38 of V. You can't say that.
You'll try.
No, I won't. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Kevin, I know last weekend you were excited to go see the Immortals, and you did, right?
Yes,
sir.
Awesome.
Oh, I'm so glad you said that because Mickey Rourke is on the phone. It would have been very embarrassing if you would have said it was bad.
It was Mickey all good Rourke. Except for Mickey.
Mickey Rourke. Thank you so much for joining us. Mickey plays King Hyperion in the America's number one film called The Immortals, number one at the box office last weekend. So, Mickey, how are you? Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. What's going on?
Really good, you know, just hanging and swinging, brother.
You know, it's so funny. We've been lucky enough doing this job for a long time to talk to many actors, and oftentimes they have no idea whether the material that they are drawn to is going to connect with the public. Like Immortals is a perfect example. There must be a reason you liked it. Are you surprised it's such a big hit?
Yes and no, really. I mean, the director was really special. I don't know, like a couple of years ago, I don't know if you saw those Nike commercials where they had all the athletes from various sports and doing their thing with the masks on and everything.
Yeah, and then they ran into another field and became another athlete or whatever that was?
Something like that, yeah. Well, I saw that because the director comes out of commercials, okay? And which is a good sign because he already knows how to light and do that kind of thing. You
Wait,
know?
That is a good sign? Because it seems to me like that would worry you a bit.
No, it wouldn't worry. Well, it wouldn't worry me. It's the fact that, you know, he makes his living also doing commercials, so he's got a lot of experience working with the camera and doing very innovative, innovative things.
Oh, I see. Okay.
You know, so I thought if I'm going to do this movie, I want to do it. In the business we call guys like that who know how to light and everything.
And that's why you took the role?
I took the role mainly because I knew this director was he's like kind of like in a class with guys that you want to work with now, in that genre.
Now, once you shoot the movie and you have the bow of, how do you say it, Epirus?
The Epirus bow.
Epirus bow. You have that, and of course there's no arrows. He has to add that later, and you're faking it. And I mean,
I did have to pull the bow.
Yes,
well,
you did.
Pull the bow back, and then, you know, they digitally put it in later. Yeah.
I know, but what I'm saying is, did you feel like, wow, I'm really hoping that this guy comes through because it could look bad?
No, I really didn't.
You
care.
Didn't think that?
I didn't care.
I didn't care. That's their job to do. You know, if they don't do it, then shame on them.
Right,
but
we actually can't still use the SH word on the air, Mickey. Right. I'm sorry, we had to dub you a couple of times here. The beautiful thing about a guy like you, and why people are so fascinated with you, I think, is A, you make interesting film choices. B, we do get the impression that you don't care what people think, which is so refreshing in this business, doesn't it? Seem like, and you deal with Hollywood a lot more than we do, that everybody is so careful about everything they say all the time that there's no real personality much out there anymore.
Well, you know, I've noticed over the years, even if you're a working star or so-called movie star, right, wood still floats. So a lot of them worry about, am I going to get another job?
Right.
you know. So I like,
and that's why
the expression wood floats, you know.
Right.
They could last. A lot of actors can last a long time on no talent at all, really.
No, I agree with that. But you certainly have been there.
Say that again. You agree with that. Good.
I absolutely agree with that. There are so many terrible actors that you can't believe still keep getting work year after year after year.
We could go down the list, but they'll kill me.
Let's do. Let's just pick the biggest offender.
No, they'll hang back my fruit basket.
Look, I know this is completely off topic, Mickey, but we've been talking on the air a lot this week. We like Adam Sandler a lot. We've had him on the show a bunch of times. He seems like a really, really nice guy. But the fact like a movie like that gets made and people go see it just blows my mind. Like, I can't get my head around a movie that bad being as popular as it is. I don't understand Hollywood. I don't know how anybody can figure out what's going on anymore.
Well, you know, it's, lots of times movies like Immortals come by and the material was pretty good to read. And I think because of this director's, you know, history, even though he's a relatively new director, Tarsem Singh, people have taken note and know who he is. They know that he's very talented and that he's a shooter and that he's going to take this material that we're reading and he's going to transcend the material and make something really special. That's why he can go out there and attract like a Frida Pinto here or a John Hurt there, you know, and put a really good, interesting cast together.
Right. Let me ask you a bigger, overreaching question, our remaining moments on the phone with Mickey Rourke here on the Kevin Bean Show today, and that is, you're a guy who spent some time away from Hollywood. You had trouble finding a job at one point. Is that something you think about a lot now in the choices that you make? Do you worry that that will happen to you again, or do you feel like you're in a better place now to continue to make the kind of decisions that will keep you working?
Well, I think everybody I pissed off years ago, 20 years ago, is probably out of the business or dead. So... thank God there's these new guys like Tarsem that come along and they're not worried about what mistakes I made 20 years ago. And yeah, sure, I've always got to watch, you know, shut up, you, my dog. easy, guys. They're not used to hearing me talk at this hour. They don't know what's going on. They're all freaked out. I forgot what I was talking
about.
You
outlasted everybody that you might have made mad.
Yeah, probably. Pretty much. Or pissed off. And, so, you know, yeah, I still got to watch out, you know, and not
we were talking about before we brought you on this run of movies, The Expendables and The Iron Man 2 and the Wrestler, of course, and Sin City. And you've made some other smaller movies, too, that, you know, that people have liked as well. I mean, you are on one of the best runs of your career right now. And it's so refreshing to have a guy like you out there who's unpredictable, who, you know, we can be excited to see what the next move is. And God bless you. I'm glad you're still doing it, Mickey.
Well, thank you very much. You know, I mean, I hope the people like the Immortals is the kind of movie you go to. You have a really good time. Guys seem to really like the movie. You know?
It's a good ride.
Even the girls like it because there's a lot of, like, you know, great looking guys in the movie with their shirts off, you know.
And there's Frida Pinto, who's pretty hot.
Frida Pinto, yeah. So, you know, the lead is swinging in this movie.
Immortals is in theaters everywhere. Don't be suckered into going to Twilight. Go see the Immortals instead. Mickey Rourke, thanks so much for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show. We enjoyed talking to you.
Okay, take care, guys.
Ralph has one final look at the showbiz beat here on a Friday Kevin and Bean Show coming up. First, though, how about Jimmy Kimmel's real-life cousin Sal, who joins us on the phone each week to talk NFL football. You can read his blog on thegreatgrantland.com, the website started by our friend Bill Simmons, and follow him on Twitter at TheCousinSal. Hey, Sal, how are you, man?
What's a good word, fellas?
I didn't watch the game last night, but the fanaticism for Tim Tebow on Twitter is phenomenal. He's a rock star right now. And with that comeback last night, Sal, I mean, you must have been jumping up and down like a crazy person.
No, I'm a crazy person, but it's only because I hate it, and I don't understand why it's happening. And like, there's all this God talk, and I'm really starting to fall for it because as good as he looks in the last 3 minutes of every game, he's that bad and worse in the first 57 minutes. And it's driving me nuts because if the Jets have 20 points in the fourth quarter instead of 13, that game is over. Like, I don't know why these teams are sticking around. I don't get the magic. I don't get the mystique. The guy, his passes are 30 feet over everyone's head in the first 3.5 quarters, and then he comes alive like no one's business.
It is. The one weird thing is that usually the quarterbacks that are good at coming back are good most of the game.
Right.
This is the first time like a guy came along and sucks it up for 3.5 quarters and then just turns it around.
Right, and I don't get it. And if I'm the Broncos, why not put Kyle Orton in the first 3.5 quarters? Like, does Tim Tebow have to suck for this all to work out? It gets me crazy. It really does.
And that last drive last night, that 95-yard drive that ended up winning the game for Denver, I mean, you just can't even – I mean, it's like watching a movie. Like, you can't believe he's doing it again. It's insane.
No, it's ridiculous. He's pulling out plays he didn't have the whole first part of the game. The guys are missing tackles. It's the God thing. You guys better get on board.
Is he one of the biggest selling NFL jerseys this season, Sal? Do you know?
I think he's number one now. I think I read somewhere that he was number one.
Wow. Well, yeah. Cousin Sal joins us on Fridays to take a look at a few key games. In case you're wondering, he is 13-13-1 so far on the air with us this season, which means he's almost exactly the same as just flipping a coin, but a whole lot more entertaining. Why don't we start with the world champion Green Bay Packers? What do they have going on this weekend?
Well, guys, I don't know if you know, but Vegas is giving money away. I don't know what happened. Maybe Justin Bieber got all the casinos pregnant and wrote them a big check. But
right.
They're excited to give money away to anyone who's willing to bet the Packers. I mean, have you watched this Packer team?
Yes, they're unbeatable.
They score right. They're giving 14 points, and it seems like a lot to give to the Bucks, but they've scored 45 the last 2 weeks. They have a shoe-in MVP in Aaron Rodgers. He's like on pace to break Tom Brady's single-season touchdown record and Dan Marino's yardage record, and he's like getting better and better every week. And Tampa Bay like appears to have mailed in their season. They've been outscored 88-43 in the last 3 games. This one's got blowout written all over it. Now, it's supposed to rain, so I'm going to adjust the score. Instead of scoring 60, I say the Packers get only 38. 38-14, they win by 24 points. Give the 14.
All right.
Isn't that crazy? I mean, you don't see a 14-point line very often. I mean, this is pretty exceptional.
No, and they try hard not to move it off 14 because I guess what they call the sharps, like the wise guys, the gangsters, if you will, they as soon as they see 14.5, they'll jump on the underdog. But I don't see it this game.
All right, our next game is two very confusing teams. Their fans have been up and down week to week. Bears-Chargers, what do you got?
Yeah, and it really couldn't be a worse matchup for the Chargers. They're having an impossible time protecting the ball, and the Bears are creating turnovers left and right, and Chargers are without 3 offensive linemen, didn't practice this week, which would not be a good sign even if they hadn't allowed 6 sacks last week. I think it's just a banged up, soft California team versus a tough as nails Bears squad. And, you know, I think if the Bears didn't have the best team in the last 20 years in their division, they'd be a bigger deal. 30-13, give the 3.5 Bears over the Chargers.
Sal, I like Phil Rivers a lot. He seems like a quarterback that we're just waiting to have the kind of season I think he's capable of. Obviously, this one isn't it. What's going wrong for him? Is it him or is it his support staff?
Well, I don't know what it is. It's like that offensive line is soft. That Darren Sproles is a big cog in this wheel that they're missing. He was their third down change of pace back, and he was always available over the middle on the screen. And he since went to the Saints. And they're doing very well with him. So I would say that. His receivers have been hurt, but he's a little bit of a head case. I know you like him a lot, Beam, but come on.
He's a little crazy?
Yeah, a little bit crazy in the head. And you'll see it this week, too.
All right. And finally, Ralph is listening eagerly in the next room. What's going on with his Philadelphia Eagles versus the Giants?
Ralph, I hope he's not too upset because I'm taking his Eagles this week, which is probably a bad idea. I don't get this team at all. Have you watched? They could have paid for Kim Kardashian's next 6 weddings with the loot they spent last season on free agency, and they have 3 measly wins to show for it. And the worst part is they've blown 5 fourth quarter leads. It would take Bill Belichick like a dozen lifetimes to accomplish that season. I really don't get it. But this is a desperation game, another loss, and their season is done. I like LeSean McCoy. He's a running back. He scored in 9 straight games. The Giants have a bunch of offensive injuries. That's going to keep it close. 17-16. I say the Eagles win this game Sunday night.
And Michael Vick, of course, played most of the last game hurt with those broken ribs, and he's starting again this weekend, right?
Yeah, I think he's going to play. All bets are off if he doesn't, but yeah, he's in there.
All right, you can read Cousin Sal at grantland.com. Follow him on @TheCousinSal on Twitter if you want to get those picks and a whole bunch more that we never have time for on the radio. But it's a great column, great reading, Sal, and always a pleasure to catch up with you on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Time for a final look at the
showbiz beat. What's going on?
Before I get to the beat that is show, let me give away some stuff. I've got the DVD Blu-ray combo pack of a great film that I really enjoyed called Super 8 by J.J. Abrams. If you'd like that, I'll tell you what I'll do. But wait, there's more. I will throw in a Fandango gift card. Fandango.com, of course, the excellent website where you can find out information about the new movies and showtimes, theaters they're playing in, and buy your tickets online. Fandango.com is the website. That and the Blu-ray DVD combo pack, all of that for the low, low price of 1-800-520-1067. Just call now. First five callers to get through will win that spectacular gift package. And I can hear you saying thank you now. You're welcome.
Now, now you guys make, you guys made a different, yeah. I guess you put a DVD in?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And a Blu-ray. That's what makes it a combo pack.
We need an update for when the book comes out on DVD.
Yeah. Well, it's a Blu-ray DVD
now.
Combo pack, so it comes out on the 22nd of November, but you can get yours now, is all I'm saying.
What did you do?
I just gave away the Blu-ray DVD combo pack. While we're talking about Super 8, very disturbing story. There's too much touching of children going on in my world right now.
Yeah, in all worlds.
With Penn State and that story, and then now the Syracuse story coming out. If you heard about the Syracuse basketball team, a couple of ball boys, no pun intended, are accusing a assistant coach from the Syracuse basketball team of allegedly molesting them some years ago. They've come forward. And now we were just talking about Super 8, the J.J. Abrams movie. This disturbing story that a guy named Jason James Murphy...
Uh-oh, he has three names.
Who was convicted of kidnapping and molesting an 8-year-old boy in Washington State 15 years ago, has been working in the entertainment industry as a casting director for children.
What?
Including the movie Super 8.
Hmm.
Casting assistant who was hired as an assistant to the kids on the set of Super 8. Has been found to have a sex offender record.
But there's no complaint yet about that.
No.
Okay.
But he worked on Bad News Bears, The School of Rock, Cheaper by the Dozen 2, and the new movie, The Three Stooges, that also has children in it. He specializes in working with children, which is what disturbs me.
I'm sure it's just a coincidence.
Now,
let me ask you this, Rob. He had an offense that he was convicted of 15 years ago? Is that what you said?
Yes, sir.
No trouble since then, as far as we know. So is the thinking that he should never be allowed to work with children in his whole life because of that offense?
I think they're not allowed.
That's what I'm thinking.
Isn't there? Okay. Don't they have to stay away from kids?
He's a convicted sex offender. Okay. And the offense was with an 8-year-old child.
Gotcha.
I am Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC.
And when he went to work, he was registering as Jason James.
Oh.
So working under an alias, so hiding his true identity by not revealing his true last name.
Yeah, I think the answer to your question, Beat, is yes.
He served 5 years in prison for the offense, then moved to California, started working under this alias. There are no complaints that he acted inappropriately with any minors in the casting business, but it appears he has broken a number of state laws here in California, which dictate he must notify authorities to any name changes, nicknames, or pseudonyms, and he cannot work directly with children, period.
Can you please stop doing this stuff?
He has violated all of those. Here's the thing. Imagine how J.J. Abrams, a guy, feels.
Yeah, no kidding.
Producer, director hires this guy to work with the kids, and then this comes out. Here's his statement to the L.A. Times. It's shocking and devastating, not just as a filmmaker, but as a father and someone who was entrusted to make sure that everyone I work with, especially children, are safe. To think that someone like this was among us is unthinkable. So, very disturbing news. But hopefully authorities will do the right thing.
Appreciate you sending us off on a high note on the weekend, Ralph.
Hey, look, this is the news, man. I don't write it. I just report it. There's things that have to be said, and I'm the man that has to say them.
yes, you are. That has been established.
Edward R. Murrow. Those are the two names that people have come to trust when it comes to broadcast journalism.
You are the most trusted.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, indeed.
It's true.
Porn star Kim Kardashian is miserable that everyone hates her, according to friends.
Really? When did she start caring about that?
She should have thought of that before she was a money-grubbing whore. Us Weekly reports that she is devastated. She's been telling friends and family that even her fans have turned against her and that her life has become fodder for late-night comedians. And some early morning ones, too.
What? Her life has always been fodder.
Yeah. Here's the thing. When you try to be famous for nothing, eventually... You're building your house on a foundation of sand. And eventually that will come back to haunt you.
Yeah.
And she was doing fine being famous for nothing as long as she stayed non-controversial and just was hot, which is what people wanted. But once people sense that you took a $20 million check for a sham wedding, all of a sudden now you're violating whatever trust your fans might have had in you.
Agreed. Snooki has a new suggestion for your beauty regimen.
Let's have her on.
Oh, we should talk to Snooki. Oh, no, wait a minute. We tried that. Here's what she thinks. Well, she doesn't think. This is what she recommends as a facial scrub. Apparently, she doesn't like to pay for the high-priced facial cleaners.
I'm terrified.
I am, too.
Snooki recommends. Anyone? Anyone guess what she uses as a exfoliant?
I have a guess, but I can't say it.
Brillo pad?
Cat litter.
What?
Snooki says rub cat litter all over your face. Now, keep in mind, it's clean, the clean cat litter.
Did she specify that?
Yes.
Okay.
I Googled what else I could use, because I don't like to spend a lot of money on spa treatments. That's, like, not so expensive. And it was cat litter, she said. So that's what she uses on her face every day. The only downside, she says, apparently cats will come by and try to bury her in the cat litter when they find her. Which makes perfect sense to me.
Shut up, Snooki.
Shut up, Snooki, indeed. Oh, geez, I'm almost out of time. But today's celebrity birthdays. Fabulous is 34 years old today. Chloe Sevigny is 37 ye.
Wasn't funny the first time.
Peter Wilson's 41. Mike Epps also turns 41 today. Owen Wilson is 43. Metallica guitarist Kirk Hammett is 49. Elizabeth Perkins is 51. Her Weeds co-star Kevin Nealon is 58. Oscar Nunez from The Office is 53. Delroy Lindo celebrates his 59th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Again, you have 11 minutes to buy tickets for the... In 11 minutes, you can buy tickets for night number two, and it's the deadline for the Miss Double December. On Monday, we're going to announce the top 10 for Miss Double December. Join us then. Have a great weekend, everybody.
I quit this bitch.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Beers. What about her?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Naked.
Roll another one.
Make me the pleasure town.
Just like the other one.
How great is that, huh?
This one seems to be about to quit.
What I'm talking about, sucker.
I need another hit.
Good morning. Good morning. Fabulous. Outstanding. Wonderful. Terrific. Good morning. Yeah. Good morning.
Roll.
Tell me what it was like being in prison.
Just like the other one.
Airtight.
This one seems to be about.
Hey, it's Beer Mug here.
I don't have another sense.
If you mess with the bull, get back on that horse.
But the bull got that joint.
Wow.
Just pass it around.
That's not brown rice.
But the bull got that joint, my friend.
Right?
I just pass it on down.
Why am I sticky and naked? Did I miss something fun?
Oh, my goodness! Are you kidding me? How good was that?
That was beautiful! That was beautiful!
They are on their feet!
Right, that's the end. Stop the program! Stop it!
Thanks, everybody. Suck my balls!
Well, I have a secret for you guys. Get out.
Whoa.
Thank you.
And screw you.